much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You got a lot of nerve waking me up in the middle of the night like this.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Can you sing Bastille? Wow, I think you got bean beat on that one.
Where are my flapjacks?
Huh?
You will recall last night, ere I drifted off into slumber, with a nudie magazine betwixt my legs, I spake thusly. Lois, tomorrow morning I want flapjacks. It was a simple message, yet it has gone unheeded.
All right, Peter. Give me a minute.
For every 5 seconds I do not have flapjacks, I shall break one window.
And now...
Oh, there it is.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 4th of June.
What's going on, you guys?
What's up with you?
You know.
Gangsta.
Yeah, exactly. All thinking the same thing. How are you, Lisa?
I'm fine. And they're
how are they?
Fabulous. Thank you.
Yeah, they really have never looked better. Gotta say, saw at the weenie roast. I thought, wow, how's Lisa getting hotter as she gets older? What's going on with that?
She tried to distract us with that stupid hat. But
she certainly. Well, that's what you got to do.
Up
otherwise,
here. Eyes up here, yeah. Guys.
Exactly. Otherwise, we'll just be pawing her all day. And she doesn't want that. So. Hey, got a great Kevin and Bean show for you today. Truly, truly exceptional Kevin and Bean show today. One of my maybe five favorite guests that we ever have is coming in today. But before we get to that, it's time for our new feature, Cats in the News. I know you in particular, Kevin, are excited about Cats in the News.
Well, I am excited about Cat Helicopter, if that's what you're talking about.
What's with, we see hoarding stories from time to time. How does that happen? That the people who say that they love the animals the most are the ones who can't see how out of their depth they are in terms of taking care of the animals that they have?
I don't know. And it's a weird thing to cat owners. I mean, I'm sure there's some exceptions, but for the most part, it seems like the people that hoard any pet, right. It's always cats.
I see a lot of dog hoarding stories,
do you?
Too. A lot, yeah. This one happens to be a cat hoarding story, and I'm sure this lady had the best of intentions when she started out. I mean, I think it's weird for me to think that you could have an animal as a pet and not be aware of the conditions in which it lives and the shape that it's in. You know, it just seems I mean, it's almost a mental illness. I'm sure she started out thinking she was giving these cats a good home, but she lives in Kansas City. She was living in a fourplex there. And when she got to the point where she was in an unlivable situation, it doesn't say at what point that was that she had too many cats. She moved into the apartment next door and took half the cats with her and then left the other half of the cats in the apartment. So she's basically paying for two apartments, one of which is just a cat residence. Okay.
All right.
So I guess neutering and spaying is not a thing in her life or that she knows about because continues to have more cats and moves again.
Where's all this money coming
keeping
from?
Keeping the first two places as well?
Yes. So essentially the first two places are giant litter boxes. She goes by every day with food and water for those cats and still lives in a house. You know, she's got probably a third of the cats with her and then a third in one apartment and then a third in the other. She had over 70 cats, by the way.
Oh 70!
Over 70, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yes, she's definitely crazy. I mean, again, so many problems with this because clearly pets need more than just food and water, too. You know, they also need attention and exercise and visits to the vet and, you know, all sorts of things. Medicine in many cases. But she ends up with 70 cats. Now, this was one of these stories where it's not like somebody found out about it and turned her in. She called the police and said, I'm in too deep here. So she turned herself in and said, I need help.
Isn't
I got
that
too
funny
many cats.
That at 70 she was overwhelmed? But 60, you know what? Oh, cool. I'm cool with that.
Right. Exactly. But I wonder, Lisa, if you hit the nail on the head, which is she just realized it was unsustainable financially.
Yeah, she couldn't move into one more apartment.
Right, exactly.
Done.
It's a lot to pay for three apartments.
I think so, too. But
it's a hell of a lot.
It's so much cheaper to get them fixed, really.
Well, yes. Sure. There's that.
Exactly. So the Kansas City Pet Project is accepting donations. They're looking for food and medicine and litter and crates and foster families and, you know, trying to get them all healthy and donate them out and everything. But I'm sorry, ma'am. Did you have a comment about your cats?
I'm sorry. I'm thinking about cats again.
Uh-huh.
I think about how many don't have a home and how I should have them.
You do have them.
And how cute they are. And their ears and the whiskers and the nose.
She does love cats.
I just love them.
Yeah, you do.
And I want them. And I want them in a basket.
What?
And I want little bow ties. I want them to be on a rainbow and just in my bed. And I just want a house full of them. And I just want to still roll around.
I think she sounds fine. Sounds perfectly normal to me. I think we're overblowing this story. But anyway, there you go. There's your cats in the news right there to get us going.
Wow.
So at least it's a semi-happy ending that the cats have been rescued and hopefully this woman won't have any more.
True. That rarely happens.
That's scary. That really is scary.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach show, shall we?
You use too many big words, man.
Never been accused of that. On today's program, we have lightning strikes.
Yes.
Always fun.
He did some interviews at the hotel when we were down there for a weenie roast and the furry convention was going on.
I'm starting to wonder if we at K-Rock plan our weenie roast around when the furries are going to be there. Because it seems like we move around a lot in the summer. It seems like too much of a coincidence that they're always there. I think somebody in the scheduling department at K-Rock is a furry.
Can I tell you what I heard?
Yes.
Tell me.
I heard that to get publicity, they schedule their thing weenie roast weekend.
Oh.
Because they know
really
everybody from K-Rock is going to be there. Their bands are going to be there and stuff. That's what I heard, and that they literally try to make it the same weekend.
How about that? Well, it definitely happens that way every year, so that makes a lot of sense.
They crazy.
They're different.
Fun way.
Yeah.
I remember one year we didn't coincide with their convention, and it was so sad.
It was, yeah.
It was just, it wasn't the same at all.
But it was this year.
Yeah.
And Lightning talked to a whole bunch of them.
Awesome.
Adam Carolla will be on the program today, this week at Ranch. We have Cascade, one of the biggest DJs.
Mm-hmm.
We have Breakfast with Jack White.
Yes.
Coming up today. We've got your tickets in the 6 o'clock hour. And Bean, I believe, was referring to Clark Gregg.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Love him so much.
You, of course, know him from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's got a new movie that he wrote and directed that's fantastic. That's coming out. So we're going to talk to him about that as well. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. The world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
By the way, the Black Keys are coming to the Forum on November the 8th. Tickets go on sale this Friday morning at 10 a.m. You won't have to worry about that. If you win yours this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll tell you when to call in. Good morning, Ralph Harmon.
Good morning.
What's going on with the Showbiz Beat?
Before I get to the beat, I do want to mention that today is, in fact, the day my first ever comic book.
Come on.
Is in comic book stores. Around the world today.
That's awesome.
Batman Meets the Green Hornet hits stands today. And it comes from me and my buddy Kevin Smith. And could not be more excited. Could not be more thrilled. I was thinking this morning as I was driving in, and I wanted to mention it to folks. I thought, I spent my days as a kid, 7, 8, 9 years old, with typing paper from my mom's office there. And I would draw squares into it. And then I would draw my own comic books.
Is that right?
Batman and Robin adventures that I would draw with little stick figures and stuff, and here I am with a real comic book out today.
I would like to see those.
Yeah, they're spectacular. So if you're around a comic book store today and you want to pick it up, I wouldn't be mad at you. And also Saturday, June 7th at 1 p.m., I will be doing a signing of the comic book at the Golden Apple Comic Book Store at 7018 Melrose Avenue, La Brea and Melrose.
That's where you go all the time, right?
They asked me to come down and do a signing there. And again, it is awesome because that is my home comic book store. So I will be there on Saturday afternoon if you want to come out and say hi and get the book. And I'll sign it for you and we'll talk and we'll do the Batusi and we'll have a good time.
Bitchin'!
Listen to yourself, man. You're hanging with nerds.
I sure am. And now we're taking over the world. Showbiz news. I like Angelina Jolie more and more. The more I listen to her, the more I look at her, the more I hear her interviewed. She has become like the like royalty, like Hollywood royalty, like the elder stateswoman of sort of common sense and cool in Hollywood. And think about how she started. Remember when she was wearing vials of blood around her neck?
Yeah, she was
with
weird.
Billy Bob Thornton, and they were having like knife sex together.
Yeah.
They're stabbing each other in padded rooms, and she was a wild child. And now she's like this elegant queen of Hollywood.
That's true.
Someone was talking to her, and they quoted, they talked about that quote from Gwyneth Paltrow, who said how hard it was for her to be a mother in Hollywood because
right.
she had to go to the set. I have to go to a set sometimes, and I have to work a movie.
Yep.
And it's so much harder than it is for the average mother who's like a nurse or a teacher who can just be a mom, to which America collectively raised its middle finger to Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
And apparently so did her husband, Chris Martin.
That's right. Angelina Jolie, regarding that statement to Us Weekly, she said, I actually feel that women in my position, when we have all at our disposal to help us, shouldn't complain. Many people are single raising children. Now that is hard.
How about that?
And then she went to Gwyneth Paltrow's house and punched her in the face.
Is that right?
I thought it was pretty cool.
I didn't see that part of
like
the story.
Salt. I love that movie. Bradley Cooper, damn him. Damn him!
Now what?
Apparently, for his latest role in American Sniper, he has put on 40 pounds of muscle.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Of muscle?
How is that even possible?
They say he is now unrecognizable.
Wow.
He looks so huge and buff that he went into the Beverly Wilshire Hotel to have dinner, and the staff refused to seat him because they did not believe he was Bradley Cooper and demanded to see ID.
Oh, my God.
Is that right?
So, yeah, table for Bradley Cooper. Like, get out of here. Get out of here, musclehead. You're not
Don't
Bradley
try to steal
Cooper.
Bradley Cooper's seat.
That's right. We have a reservation for Mr. Cooper. He's going to be so ticked off if he comes in here and you're at his table.
That's awesome.
He had to produce ID before they would seat him. So now that not only does he have everything, now he's huge and swole and cut.
Pretty hateable.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot of work, by the way. That's why I try not to get too buff. Because the maintenance, who's got time for that?
Is that why you try not to get too buff?
Yeah.
Right,
just,
exactly.
You just stay at the level of buff you are now? Is that what you're saying?
That's the healthiest man alive, as he calls
which,
himself.
Which, by the way, is the level of buff I was born with.
Yeah, that's great. You must do a lot of quad work when you're climbing the stool to get to your food stash above the fridge.
Oh, I don't need the stool.
Oh, that's right. You're stretching. It's like a Pilates thing for you.
Right.
Bradley Cooper also, by the way, will be starring in The Elephant Man on Broadway.
Wow.
So he's got that going for him, too.
All right. He's better.
I saw David Bowie in that role years ago.
How was that? Elephant.
He was brilliant.
Yeah,
it was really a good time. And, of course, tonight is the night. Los Angeles Kings versus the New York Rangers, game one of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yes, it is.
Perhaps the greatest playoff, the greatest championship in all professional sports. I love me some Stanley Cup Finals.
More than the Super Bowl.
I think so.
I do, too.
I think it's more, obviously the Super Bowl is so much hype, but how many great Super Bowl games have you seen? It's a great event, don't get me wrong, I enjoy it every year. But I think the Stanley Cup Finals, the games themselves, are always just terrific.
The Super Bowl is always all about everything but the football, for the most part. For like 2 weeks.
There's a lot of stuff that swirls around it.
Yeah.
Tonight's
go,
the first game.
Go, Kings, go!
All right, Will, take it easy.
Yeah. I want to give props and shout out to the Kevin and Bean Show's biggest Kings fan, Dave the King of Mexico. Dave is...
I'm sorry,
Dave,
what?
Congratulations, Dave. I'm really pulling for your Kings, buddy.
That's right! Go, Kings, go!
All right, pal.
I'm sorry?
Dave's Kings. Let's say they've always been Dave's Kings.
I don't believe he went to a game this season.
You're so jealous. They've always been Dave's Kings.
Huh.
So anyway, one of the Rangers team's legends, Ron Duguay, took the stage last night for a brief appearance in the Broadway musical Rock of Ages. It's kind of an inside joke because legendarily, Ron, when he played back in the 80s, he had the best hockey mullet in the world.
Oh, sweet.
So he fit right in with the show. And New York Daily News said anyone who wore a Rangers jersey to the performance was able to get a free drink at the show. So New York is doing their part to support their team as well. And I know I'm going to take crap for this, and I mean this only in the best way because I'm on your side. And I love our Kings fans, but I just wish this was more of a hockey town. I wish L.A. was
Me
more
too.
Of a hockey town. the fans that do exist are hardcore and passionate, and I love you, and I respect you, and I'm pulling for your team. But New York is just on fire for this. Everywhere you go, it's all Rangers all the time. And L.A., obviously, there's a passion for it, but you don't feel that phenomenon kind of going on citywide, you know? And I wish they had more support citywide, but I'm pulling for the Kings.
You do feel like you're kind of in a little club.
Yeah, it is. That's kind of cool, too.
You know what I mean?
You're in a rarefied company, but it'd be kind of nice if it was a citywide phenomenon where everybody was as pumped up as hockey fans were. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Bruce Dern, 78 years old today. His most recent work, of course, was his Oscar-nominated role in Nebraska. Terrific performance. Scott Wolf from Party of Five and also V, 46 years old. Comedian Wolf. Horatio Sanz is 45. Actor Rob Hubel, funny man, 45 years old. Noah Wiley is 43. We were just talking about her. Birthday girl Angelina Jolie is 39 years old today. Russell Brand is 39. Model Bar Raffaelli is 29 years old today. But more than Bar Raffaelli, the reason we're excited today, El DeBarge's birthday. It's El DeBarge's birthday.
Yeah.
The greatest of all the DeBarges.
You're saying that's better?
Celebrates his 53rd birthday today.
That's better
today.
Than Bar Raffaelli? Oh, that's what yes. You're saying?
Because L is forever. Eventually, Bar Raffaelli is going to get old and she's going to lose her luster. L hasn't lost a step. Huh. He is still L-tastic.
You see him everywhere.
He is L-rific. He is El Fuego.
That's bad music right there.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
So 1 week from tomorrow is our Breakfast with Jack White. He, of course, has a new album, Lazaretto, coming out. We'll get a chance to interview him, as will you. We'll all be in a small room called the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock, and we all get to watch the man play. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you're a Jack White fan, we're looking for you right now at 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to play a game. I have that right. We're doing that next, right?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah,
all right. So if you want to win Breakfast with Jack White tickets, it's the only way to get in. You can call right now here at K-Rock, but be prepared to earn them. It is Wednesday morning here on the World Famous K-Rock. Hey, I think it's time for Death Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
By the way, I had the best time. I've been doing some flying lately to Las Vegas to see my dad and, of course, down there for the Weenie Roast. So my book of choice for to kick off my summer was a book called The Great Mortality, An Intimate History of the Black Death. Kevin, I've never read about so much death in a short period of time as I did in that book. It's amazing.
That sounds like the worst book ever.
25 million killed by the plague.
Right. Why would you want to
and
focus
that book
on
tells
that?
You about every one of them.
Every one of them in detail. Yeah. Phenomenal story. And I learned so much about the world in the 1300s. It's a great read if you're a fan of stuff
like
that.
Thank God, because that's super useful.
In the meantime, they'll bring it back into the 21st century. Here's a San Diego couple that recently died. Together, you know, you hear about stories like this, a lot of a couple be married for a long time and they die within a couple of days of each other because why go on when your spouse is gone? Mm-hmm. Well, this wasn't quite as peaceful as that. This was an 80-year-old wife and her 87-year-old husband. He accidentally ran over her in the driveway of their home.
Oh, my God.
He was repositioning his Toyota pickup truck in their driveway when he ran over his wife. As you can imagine, the man was quite distraught. He jumped out of the car to check on his wife, and unfortunately, in the commotion or the excitement or whatever it was, he slipped and fell. The truck was still moving backwards at the time, and it also ran over and killed him.
Oh my God.
Both of them right there in the driveway of their home where they had been married and lived for 45 years. Described as loving, kind, and quiet people who always had smiles on their faces, but maybe not that day.
What are the odds? What are the chances that all of that would happen at the same time?
He took them both out. That's
yep.
Impressive.
Unbelievable.
Yep. Now we go to South Carolina. Every time you see a story where somebody says, no, I'm serious, shoot me, I have a bulletproof vest on, we all know where these stories are going to end, right?
Sure.
The man is Blake Wardell, 26 years old, wearing a Kevlar vest. He was about 10 years old. His girlfriend, Taylor Ann Kelly, 18 years old, had a small caliber gun, and he insisted that she shoot him. Hey, I have a bulletproof vest. What can go wrong? Well, what can go wrong is apparently the bullet ended up just a little bit outside.
Yep.
Which is unfortunately what often happens in the case. It actually went to just to the top of the bulletproof vest and did, in fact, enter his chest and killed the man almost immediately. Police say it wasn't a fight. That plan was she was to shoot him in the vest, but she shot just above the vest. And you guys tell me what you think about this. She has been charged with involuntary manslaughter in connection with the shooting and can face up to 5 years in prison. Cool or not cool?
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, you should say no.
Right.
You should maybe say no.
I think that's all right.
I mean,
it was involuntary. It's not like she was, you know, forced
yeah,
to.
She probably won't go to jail.
She probably certainly had no intention of hurting her boyfriend, though. She thought they were, you know, on
but
the same page.
It's a gun.
It's a gun that's loaded that he's saying, point that at my chest.
And clearly she knows she's not a marksman.
Right. Wow. Exactly. Sugar Creek Township, Ohio, a 22-year-old woman is dead. And that always, as you know, these are my least favorite kind of death corner stories because girls in their 20s are the best things in the world. Mm-hmm. She was mistakenly shot by a farmer who thought she was, any guesses?
A wolf.
Okay.
Shot by a farmer.
A farmer was shooting a BB gun out in his yard, and he thought he saw a groundhog, so switched to a rifle and took a shot at what turned out to be this poor 22-year-old woman. 165 feet away she was, by the way. He got her right in the head.
Okay,
she died the next day in the hospital. He is a marksman. The shooting appears to be accidental, but the case is still under investigation. I mean, he thought she was a groundhog and picked her off from 165 feet, and it was a woman.
If he's that good of a shot, he needs to be able to see that there's a difference between a woman and a groundhog.
Well, she was laying down in the grass, so it's not like she was just standing up on the horizon or something like that.
Was she tunneling underneath the grass?
It probably was just, he just saw, you know, the grass moving. It's on the top of her head or something. He thought it was a groundhog.
But how he hates groundhogs.
That is, that's not the way you want to go right there. Two more on this edition of Bean's Death Corner. Here's a family feud, and I always love it when a fight breaks out at a wedding. Not so happy when it's a death as it was in this case, but the family members were arguing over who was going to take home the leftover cans of Sterno and food after a church wedding reception. Do you guys know what Sterno is?
Yeah, yeah. It's those cans
that you light on fire.
Them. Yeah,
exactly. You use them to heat food if you're maybe poor and don't have a stove, I guess. Usually camping is the only place.
Dishes. You put them under chafing dishes, at formal events to keep the food warm.
I don't know what that is, but all right.
All right, well, that's probably what was going on, Lisa, since it was a church wedding reception. Maybe this was some fancy food, and that's how they want to heat it up, right? Yeah. They fought about who was going to take home the cans of Sterno, which was being used to heat the food at the ceremony, and the leftover goodies. A New York Police Department spokesperson said, we had a person in custody. We were speaking to him. It's early in the investigation. But apparently one man knifed the other man to death after the vow renewal service at the Holy Spirit Catholic Church in University Heights in the Bronx. I was so surprised this story was not like in Mississippi or someplace.
No,
this happened in New York, by the way. A man who lives next to the church told the Post on Monday they're supposed to be praying, not killing in church. That's crazy. That's a sad thing to happen. Yeah, you don't expect that at a wedding reception.
Sterno is so cheap, by the way.
It is.
Right.
That's okay.
That's weird.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's like 39 cents a can or something, right? And here's a story that is not a surprise. Unfortunately, we see lots of stories of people who get in accidents and somebody gets killed because they're on their phone. They're texting. What's unusual about this is that Ian Glover, the man who ended up killing a woman while he was driving a truck and went off the road, was watching porn on his phone while he drove.
Wait, hold on. Is that not cool?
It's super, super uncool.
What?
The crash happened on the A5 near Telford in Shropshire. The man was browsing two sex websites while driving around 55 miles per hour. The judge in the case said, you were on those sites at the point of impact for many miles. You were not paying proper attention. This was utterly avoidable. So he has not been sentenced yet, but he is going to probably face a long jail time. For several minutes leading up to the crash, he's watching porn on his phone. So that would make me wonder what else he was doing.
Like, he's driving with his knee.
Yes. How much more distracted was he? Because he's not just watching porn,
sometimes,
right?
Sometimes you got to have it.
Well, there it is. That's an outstanding edition of this week's All New Beans Death Corner.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 25 minutes after 6 o'clock.
All right, it's time. Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Jack White, which is going to be 1 week from tomorrow in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. It's a little game we like to call Wheel of Celebrities.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
All right, so we're looking for lyrics. You're going to have to identify lyrics.
We're looking for lyrics?
I mean, you're going to have to identify lyrics.
Right.
We're going to read them to you. A celebrity's going to read them to you. How many do we have in the other room there, Ralph?
There's about a dozen A-list celebrities in Studio B over there.
Just, nice of them to stop by already so early this morning.
Line up to the microphone. Well, they got nothing better to do.
They were here since last time we did this game. It's weird. They won't leave.
Well, we won't let them out.
They're squatters.
The door's got a padlock on it.
All right, let's start in Chino with Roxanne. Hi, Roxanne.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thank you. You know Jack White lyrics?
Yes, I love Jack White.
All right.
Good.
Here we go. Let's spin the wheel and see who's going to read your... I'm not happy with that one. I'm sorry.
That was a weak-ass spin.
It was. You need to make sure you get a proper spin. Arnold Schwarzenegger. We'll be reading your lyrics today, Roxanne. Have to identify the song.
Roxanne, you have to put on the red light.
That's not the song you're doing, Governor. You've got to do a Jack White song, and then she'll tell you which one it is.
Okay. Red hair with a curl, mellow roll for the flavor, and the eyes were peeping. Can't keep away from the girl. These two sides of my brain need to have a meeting.
Fell in love with a girl by the White Stripes.
Nice. Well done. Perfectly done, Roxanne. Hang on, you are in the drawing. You are one step closer to winning those tickets. Who's next?
Hang on. Sorry, I had to turn down that clip.
That was the loudest clip ever.
my ears are now bleeding.
Stay with me if you want to live.
Dan in Santa Clarita. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Doing the Wheel of Celebrities. Here you go. See who's going to give you the lyrics.
So I'm done now?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Arnold. Unless it lands on you again.
All right.
Could you just wait for the end of the game?
Yeah, I'll wait to see what happens.
This is Al Pacino, though. So Al Pacino will be here.
Excuse here's me. Al. Al's here already. Wow.
Excuse me, Arnold. I've got something to do. Settle for a girl, neither up or down. Sell it to the crowd that's gathered round. Settle for a girl, neither up or down. Sell it to the crowd that's gathered round.
What's the song,
the
please?
Lyrics, but
is that Steady as She Goes by the Raconteurs?
Look at that. Absolutely is. I got to tell you, the Jack White fans are amazing.
They're very committed.
They love their boy and love their lyrics.
His work.
They do. Thank you, Al. This is Brian in Huntington Park. Hi, Brian.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, listeners.
Hello.
Get in the wheel. Let's see who a celebrity is going to read you your lyrics. Oh, William Shatner. William Shatner. How did you? You said 1 second after it landed on your name.
I was here with Al.
Oh, okay. All right.
If you can hear a piano fall, you can hear me coming down the hall. If I could just hear your pretty voice, I don't think I need to see it at all. Don't think I need to see it at all.
All right, Brian.
What do you think there, Brian?
Union Forever?
Is that your guess? That's the song title you're giving me right now?
It sounds like a guess, but it's actually a statement.
Mm.
Looking for Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground, more than your manifesto. You can hear
a piano fall. Yeah,
but thanks for playing anyway.
I don't even understand that guy.
No.
Let's go to Chris.
He scares me.
Springs. Hi, Chris.
Set phases. We're stunned.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good. Thank you. You ready?
I'm ready.
That may have been my best spin ever. You're really good about that. Oh, it's TV's Batman, Adam West.
Adam West!
How about that?
Adam West.
Hi, Adam West.
Hello, Kevin and Bean.
How are you?
Very good, thank you.
We're fine. You know what we're doing here? I don't know if they briefed you in the other room, but we need you to read these lyrics in front of you. Then the caller will tell us what Jack White song it is.
All right, fair enough. And even God herself has fewer plans than me. But she never helps me out with my scams for free. Though she grabs a stick and then she points it at me. When I say nothing, I say everything.
I'm lost on that one.
Oh, Chris.
That's the current one, Lazaretto. When I say
nothing, I say everything. Let this sound right. A little different, but all right.
We do have thank you, Mr. West. Appreciate you stopping
by. I feel
bad
for that poor gentleman.
Yeah. What can we do? Give him a chance. We just have time for one more contestant. Who's it going to be?
All right. The contestant is going to be Julius. Hi, Julius.
You have the contestants on the wheel over there, Kevin?
Cousin for Julius.
What? Do you have the contestants on the wheel over there? You spun the wheel before Julius's name came up.
I spun the wheel, but then Bean said, who's the contestant? So that completely threw me off.
Okay.
I'm going to spin the wheel again, though, just to make sure, Julius.
When you spun the wheel, you didn't think we'd need a contestant?
No, I don't have any idea what happened. All right.
I hope Julius's name comes up again, or else he's not going to be able to play.
He is our contestant.
Oh, good.
And the person reading the lyrics is Party Bus Kevin.
Oh,
oddly enough.
Party Bus Kevin, I'll spin the wheel for any reason at all. I'm just like spin wheels.
Party Bus Kevin, how do you like regular Kevin is working through quicksand this morning a little bit?
How dare you? He did have a granola bar.
Just like it. Yes. All right. You're going to read these lyrics for us, right?
I will do my best. And I'm talking to myself at night. Because I can't forget back and forth through my mind behind a cigarette.
Julius?
Yeah, Seven Nation Army?
Nicely done. Nicely done.
Nicely done indeed.
Well, good job for you. You have to sit on the party bus.
Roxanne, Dan, Julius, all in the drawing. Only one can join us a week from tomorrow. Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Jack White in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. Lisa, who's our winner?
Our winner's Julius.
Julius, who we just talked to. Julius, congratulations.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Breakfast with Jack White. You're lucky you got party bus Kevin.
We're going to drink, you and me, Julius, at the breakfast with Wiener Roast.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock at 6:40.
Actor Clark Gregg, he's Agent Coulson, don't you know, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., has a new film out called Trust Me. We'll talk to him on the Kevin and Bean Show later on today. Adam Carolla joins us, and one of the biggest DJs in the world, Cascade, will be here. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, longtime friend, former producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, our good man Lightning joins us.
Good morning. Woo!
How shocking is it that Lightning is still working at K-Rock? How shocking is it that any of us are still working at K-Rock, but particularly Lightning, right?
Yeah, for me. Hey, especially. Bean, he's got his own office.
Yeah,
he's way office. Above us.
That's legit.
Yes.
Are you a suit now, Light?
No, not officially.
We have to share one office with 12 people. Yeah. Lightning has his own office.
Yeah, no, I've got windows that face outside, not just the inside of the building.
Love you.
And, you know, we run the sound space over here, so you're little Jack White. That's kind of our deal. Yeah, yep. So it's fun.
Lightning
fun
does stuff. A lot of stuff, including with KRock.com, and he was, of course, working the Weenie Rose like many of us were over the weekend, but he also took out a little extra responsibility at the hotel where we stay every year. We happen to be there doing the Weenie Rose stuff. At the same time, something called Califur is going on. What's Califur, Lightning?
Califur is Southern California's premier furry and anthropomorphic convention.
Describe, please.
So people that like to dress up as animals who are dressing up as humans.
People who are dressing up like animals who are dressing like humans?
Isn't that strange?
Wait,
yeah, so it's the humanization, is that a word? Of animals. So animals wearing or animals acting like humans.
And when we say animals, I mean, we're talking sometimes full body. Absolutely. You can't see the person.
So right. To go back, 2009, I think, was the first year that we booked the hotel down in Orange County, the same weekend as this convention. None of us, I will never forget the look on your face.
It was the best surprise I've ever had in my life. We walked in, we were like, holy crap, this is great.
Lisa, we walk in, and it was like someone had dropped a hit of acid into our Coca-Cola. We were like, there's no way this is happening.
This
there's 500 fully costumed characters. Yeah. So you feel like you're in Disneyland, but it's way over the top. There's far more than you'd ever see at Disney. And they are
in an elevator, and there's a guy with a tail and a head and stuff.
And a drink in his hand. It's just so weird.
Standing there in the elevator, and you don't know what to say to him. Like, hey, how's that going?
Yeah, and so we had no idea what we had walked into. And then we tried to explore, what is this all about? As we got over the shock and awe of it, we're like, okay, what's at the root of this convention? You know, and so there's a long hallway that they never let us down. There's a dance club and the dealer den and the artist alley, but we're not allowed allowed to go down there because we're not official CALIFOR members.
Well, you need to bring a costume next year.
I know, right? So we were always dying to know what is happening. And, you know, is it some wild, crazy animal sex party? What's happening in the rooms?
Yeah, are they into the sex part of it? And if so, do they have access?
Is it's weird. Like, they're super friendly. They'll take photos with you. They'll hug you. They're
they
really
the
outgoing.
Right?
But it's over the top.
Yeah.
Like, there's something a little eerie going on. And
it's weird as hell.
Yeah, it's really strange.
But they're all thrilled to be there.
Yeah.
Like, they love it.
Yeah. And this year, they're hitting like 1,200 people at this convention.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, you can see pictures, by the way, of some of Lightning's new furry friends at krock.com. And there's a whole article and a whole promo video from CALIFOR as well. But I understand you also walked around the hotel and talked to a bunch of these people, too?
And surprisingly enough, KROQ is now one of two authorized media outlets.
They've authorized this for the pictures?
I'm driving down Friday, and all of a sudden we got a tweet that says, from CALIFOR, they says, KROQ, welcome. You can interview us. I don't know. It was a tweet that said basically,
sweet.
Yeah. So I said, yeah. I pull out the microphone and said, let's go to town.
It's time for Lightning Strikes.
Lightning can be deadly. Don't take chances with lightning. Stay safe.
Everybody say hey!
Lightning is violent and unpredictable.
Everybody say ho!
Even today, nobody fully understands the effect lightning has on its victims.
Everybody scream!
When lightning strikes, people listen.
Describe your costume for me.
I am a pink and black honey badger.
Honey badger don't care. What inspired the honey badger outfit?
Because I think they're a great animal. They look great and they're very fearless.
Honey badger don't give a shit. It just takes what it wants. And what is your friend dressed up as?
It's an animal called a Cotamundi and a Parn Martin, and it's a hybrid.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Do you drink in the costume?
Oh, we can.
This thing has a tongue.
Uh-huh, and teeth.
All right, then bite my arm. Oh, it actually did hurt. How do you go to the restroom here with these things on?
You have to take it off, the whole thing.
That's a buzzkill. What's your name?
Pickles.
Oh, yeah, I see he's got a bandana with pickles on it. Why pickles?
Pickles are delicious. Everybody loves them.
Describe your outfit for me.
Well, it's a fox.
What does the fox say? Now, you're wearing one of the more interesting costumes. You've got antlers strapped to your head in some kind of a quasi-bondage apparatus.
It could be if you want it to be.
Yeah. Any crazy sex parties?
I can't comment on that.
Is this real fur or is that just back hair?
It's definitely just back hair.
Are you a sexual deviant?
I'm bisexual. Does that count?
Yep.
Great party with strange people and like some of the core groups are like really like tuned in, relaxed, strange people who happen to be like interesting as f***. That's why we show up.
Any crazy sex parties?
Every king that you can imagine definitely goes on. I ain't gonna deny that. That's like the dark but very public like presence and like reputation for this community. But the thing is, like, that's not the majority. There's a whole world of reasons people like this.
Sure, by the way, but it is going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't gonna deny that. It's not the majority, though. It's the reputation it has publicly, and people want to, like...
So this is not like a swingers convention with costumes on?
There are swingers here with costumes on, but I wouldn't call it a swingers convention. I've met a lot of, like, really awesome friends, and I've met a lot of hookups through this. But that's not why I show up. I show up to get drunk, see friends of mine, see people that I haven't seen in some cases for years, connect, and just, I don't know, have a good party. That's why I come.
That's what she said! Hey, what's your name?
Mark.
What is this costume that you're wearing?
That's a mongoose.
Mongoose. Have you ever had sex in this costume?
Are you propositioning me?
Interview over.
Did you get a feeling that they wash those costumes at all? Did you get that feeling?
No. No, I didn't. I mean, they were hot and sweaty, dancing and stuff. I will say that they did some good this year. They were actually raising money for assistance dogs for soldiers returning with PTSD.
Oh, wow.
All right.
So they're actually doing some good down there.
That's very cool.
But, you know...
And by down there, you mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just a bunch of geeks that are letting their geek out in a really, really big way. I guess it's no different than dressing up as a Batman costume in a Batman costume.
It's Comic-Con.
But then having sex with Robin.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you,
Lisa. What's in Lisa's throat these days, do you think, Ralph? Something's going on.
I am not going to touch that.
Thank you, Ralph.
with my 10-foot pole,
just
I will touch
move
that.
On.
Yeah.
Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning. Kevin Abin Show, what's going on?
Well, it's Abin Show.
That's all I know.
Yeah, we lost the monkey. I'm not, we were hoping people wouldn't notice.
I'm
but.
Parking lot changing the oil in the potter bus. Oh, here he is now. Hey, welcome.
Hey, everyone.
Welcome
how
to
are
the
you?
Show, Kevin.
Is the show still going on?
Yes, yes.
I was down there talking to Omar. About nothing.
How you guys
important.
Doing? You
about
guys?
Nothing important.
Had a good time?
Wasn't
did?
About the show. Wasn't about anything. Just
good convo.
Just hanging out.
You know, this doesn't come as a surprise, but it's still a treat. Shailene Woodley, you know, is our favorite girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, she's the
best. She's swishing oil around in her mouth, and she's making sure that her vagina gets plenty of sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
So given her, she's not a wild child, but she's a flower child. She's out there, right?
Sort of hippie-ish, right?
No surprise that she is filming a new movie called White Bird in a Blizzard. And she has a sex scene to do, like some actresses do. Some of them, you know, deal with them with a great deal of modesty. The cast and crew of White Bird in a Blizzard was shocked, I suppose, surprised, when she walked onto the soundstage nude.
All right.
You know, a lot of actors will show up in a robe or something and then just take it off just before they shoot the scene. But Shailene Woodley apparently just...
Just walked out
no
there.
Problem, just walking around, just buck-ass naked, getting ready.
Yeah.
Naked?
Yeah, for the ready
she,
for the sex scene.
She seems very comfortable with her own body.
Yes, she does. Reports say that she, the reason for her being all natural, as they say, was for a very simple reason. She says, I always get naked before doing the deed in real life, so why not get naked before film the sex scene?
Did she demand that they actually have sex?
I don't know. I just wonder what the next step of that process was, but look, if you got to think, if she's that concerned about getting sunshine on her vagina, that she would probably take every opportunity to get some rays, right?
Yeah! That's hot!
I feel bad for Jonah Hill. We've had Jonah on the show plenty of times, and I've had a chance to hang out with him a little bit, and he seems like just one of the genuinely good guys in this business.
He is a good guy.
And now he's being surrounded. Well, it's not surprising, really, I think. He's being surrounded by this controversy. I don't know whether you heard about it or not, but he did use an unfortunate, disgusting, homophobic slur, in his own words, while talking to a paparazzo over the weekend. But here's what happened, basically. He was walking around, and he had some flowered shorts on, and by all accounts, this photographer just kept at him. He was being followed by the photographer all day long, according to Hollywood Reporter, and this guy was just riding Jonah Hill, not only about his shorts, but according to sources, saying things about his family, about saying things about him personally, and in Jonah's own words, I played into exactly what he wanted, and I lost my cool.
This is, a lot of times this happens where they want you to lose your cool.
Oh, absolutely
they do. So they say the worst things to you so you will lose your cool.
That they manufacture a story.
Right.
And in reference to the guy mocking him, Jonah did say, and this was not obviously the right thing or a good thing to say. He said, suck my D, you F word for a homosexual. And as you can imagine, there was a lot of hullabaloo around that. The video was posted on TMZ.com. Jonah has publicly apologized, saying he used a disgusting word, called it a heartbreaking situation. He also, and rightly so, noted that he has publicly advocated for gay rights for a long time, has gay family members and friends. I am not at all defending my choice of words, but I am happy to be the poster boy for thinking about what you say and how those words, even if you don't intend them, and how they mean, are rooted in hate. I shouldn't have said that. So he seems genuinely apologetic, and he's saying and doing all the right things. But and he says himself, I'm not very good at being a famous person. I can't imagine anyone, if they were being ridden all day by a photographer who was just going at you and going at you, wouldn't lose your cool in some way. And he obviously said had picked an unfortunate word to use, but I can also understand the response.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for him.
You can understand him getting angry.
Yes.
Wrong words.
Right. So I'm not defending his words by any stretch of imagination, but I feel bad that he was put in that situation. And
he's a good dude.
He is a good dude. So hopefully people will be able to forgive Jonah Hill's
fire beer mug.
And of course, fire beer mug. We finally know what killed the lead singer of GWAR. Remember when Dave Brocky passed away on March 23rd? He was found dead in his home.
Was it listening to GWAR albums? Because that's how I feel sometimes.
At the age of 50. He, of course, was the lead singer for Gwar under the stage name of Odorous Arungus.
Sure.
People suspected at the age of 50 maybe something was up, and it turns out, unfortunately, those suspicions are right. He did die of an accidental heroin overdose, according to the Virginia Medical Examiner. So, it's not the first time drugs have taken a member of Gwar. Back in 2011, Corey Smoot, the 34-year-old lead guitarist, was also found dead on the group's tour bus. So they've had some unfortunate situations, but don't do drugs.
And there's certainly no line that you can tell where you cross that line, you're going to die. It's just you take drugs, and sometimes people don't want to die, but
it's
they're
Russian
just
roulette every time.
Trying to do heroin.
Russian roulette every time. You don't know. You know, you can do a bunch one time and be fine, and the next time you don't even do as much, and it takes your life. There's no formula.
Look at that guy in the news this week, Ralph, who was the king of ecstasy, who just died. He was like 88 years old or something. He did like 5,000 hits of ecstasy and lived a long, healthy, fruitful life. Yet somebody else could do it and die at 22.
Right.
There's just no way to tell.
Look at Kevin. Look at Kevin, what he does.
Look at Kevin.
On a daily basis.
How dare you?
Before he even starts work at 5 o'clock in the morning.
How does it come back to me?
He's got a half a snoot of Molly in him.
Kevin is practically the Walking Dead.
He really is, and yet inexplicably he's still alive. So, you know, don't.
How much is a half a snoot of Molly?
Snoot. You know.
Does anybody have any drugs? I'm looking to score some drugs.
About half the size of a regular snoot.
Oh, okay.
Fire beer mug.
Come on.
And congratulations to everyone in Detroit yesterday. Big celebration in Detroit. It was RoboCop Day. The city of Detroit finally unveiled its 10-foot-tall brass RoboCop statue. Detroit Mayor Dave Bing said, Philadelphia has a statue of Rocky, and RoboCop would kick Rocky's butt. He's a great ambassador for Detroit. Yeah. Mr. Mayor, can I have a word over here? You've got a lot of effing problems in your city.
Yeah.
Why don't you worry a little less about the RoboCop statue and a little more about the wild packs of dogs roaming the streets, eating people, and the hundreds and hundreds of abandoned homes that vagrants and drug dealers are living in. And a little less statue, a little more, oh, my city's going down the drain.
Does it say in the article what percentage of the 200 residents of Detroit showed up to the unveiling?
No word, but RoboCop did throw out the first pitch at Comerica Park as the Detroit Tigers hosted the Toronto Blue Jays.
All right, all other problems are solved.
Was it as good?
Was it as good as 50 cents
first
pitch?
I believe it was a little bit better than 50s. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Bruce Dern, 78 years old today. Scott Wolf turns 46. Horatio Sanz of SNL fame. A funny guy, 45 years old. Actor Rob Hubel, also 45. Noah Wiley's 43. Angelina Jolie is a lovely 39. Russell Brand is a smelly 39. And Bar Raffaelli.
Yes.
29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Love those Black Keys, by the way. They're coming to the Forum November the 6th. Tickets go on sale this Friday morning at 10. You can get details on all of that at krock.com, including how you can win your tickets. And we have some you can win this hour. Between now and 8 o'clock, we give you a chance to call in and win some tickets to the Black Keys.
I'll tell you, that's one of those bands where you look at it and you go, there aren't that many people up there. How are they making that much noise? Right?
It's
really amazing. Same thing with Jack White. Sometimes it's just him, and you go, it sounds like there's four guitarists up there.
Yeah, that's talent. Hey, speaking of talent, how about Lisa May's whistling?
Yeah, well,
yeah, how about that?
Lisa
right?
May is a great whistler, first of all. And we did a contest for Weenie Rose tickets called Kevin and Me Whistle the Hits, which is a good use of this electronics.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa told us before we did it she can't whistle. So
we thought she was just being modest, right? Meaning she's not a virtuoso whistler, but of course any 5-year-old can whistle a tune.
Well, I can't whistle is not the same as I can't sing.
Right.
There is a sound that has to be made when
you
whistle.
That's correct. If you can't sing, you're off key or whatever.
Right. But whistling is a whole other thing.
But I don't know that I've ever met anyone who actually can't whistle, period.
Well, I had braces, and before that I could whistle, and then afterward I couldn't.
Well, why didn't you get your braces back for last week's game?
I don't know.
Whatever it was.
We had a contestant on the phone who was counting on you to be able to whistle, Lisa.
I told you. I couldn't whistle.
By the way, she was mad at us because she's the nicest person on the show by far. And she felt terrible for the contestant because she doesn't want that contestant to not win because of her lack of ability.
I said this will not be fair for whoever gets me.
Well, we do have some highlights, and then we're going to take your calls on things that everybody else seems to be able to do,
yeah,
but you can't.
You fail.
Why? Who knows why? You just were never able to figure it out. Riding a bike, you know, anything that everybody else can do and you can't. But this is Lisa last week during the game trying to whistle.
You got to do it out loud.
Were you whistling? Out loud, please.
I'll turn your mic way up. Give her something. Give her something. Anybody can whistle.
Wait.
Just put your lips together and blow. Come on, you know.
Wow.
Just literally no noise.
Wait. Okay. I can't stop laughing.
She literally can't. What do we do?
This is just—it's unfair, is what it is. It's a. Oh, there we go.
Wow. She's sucking in, by the way. Just for the record.
Of course you can't. I'm not doing anything.
She's trying,
I told you guys I can't whistle.
Oh, very angry.
Kevin, you're in the room.
Wait, hold on. Here it is.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Much better.
I only have one note.
Oh,
that's the problem.
That's the note.
That's my note.
Kevin, you're in the room with Lisa.
Yeah.
Can you see what she's doing wrong?
No, not at all. She's making
the right face.
I'm
it's not like she's sucking
up.
In instead of blowing out or anything
no, I
like
was
that.
Sucking
she
in.
Is sucking in.
Yeah, I can't.
That's
do
how
it
she whistles.
Out.
She whistles by inhaling.
Yeah.
And it's
which
it's
I
weird.
Can't do for the life of me.
Really?
Yeah, there's no way to whistle inhaling
Inhale?
For me. It's weird.
It's weird. I don't remember when I, you know, learned to whistle. I assume it was like most people as a little kid. But is it something you figure out on your own, or is it something somebody describes to you and explains to you how to do?
I don't know. Because I can whistle really loud.
Can you do the thing where you put your fingers in your mouth
and
whistle?
No, but it sounds that loud. I can just do it. I can do it like that, like as loud as I want.
Wow.
Without and my daughter was like, how do you do that? And I was like, I don't know.
And you tried to show her and you couldn't.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah,
I'm,
and I've tried to do the thing where you put your fingers in your mouth and do it.
Hey, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What is that thing that everyone can do that you can't do? Me, Bean, by the way, cannot blow bubble gum. Cannot make bubbles with bubble
gum. You
can't
make a bubble? Really?
Cannot do it. And I've tried, and this is one of those things that I've had. I've actually had people, show me how to do it, where you know, how you put the gum in your mouth and do it with your tongue and all that. I cannot get a bubble to come out ever. And I've tried it 100 times.
That one's really weird because it's just a matter of making space with your tongue and then blowing. I mean, anyone can do that.
You know, Chip can't roll her R's.
Well, that's a little, I can understand. Like, you mean trill?
Yeah.
She can't do that for the life of her.
No.
All right. Let's take one call before the break at 1-800-520-1067. Let's make it Debbie. She's on line one. She joins us from Santa Ana. So we've talked about trilling, blowing bubbles with gum, and whistling. What can't you do, Debbie?
I can't snap my fingers with my right hand. I can with my left, but
what?
Not with my right.
I can't snap my fingers with either hand.
At what?
I can't do it loudly, but I can do it.
What? How come? Do you have an injury on your right hand or something?
No, I just never been able to.
Are you left-handed?
No, I'm right-handed.
What the hell's going on?
What do you think the reason is, Debbie?
I have no idea. I thought maybe you could help me.
Did people try to tell you through the years, like Bean was saying, people try to show you how to do it?
No, because I never really tell anybody that. It's just something that I've never been able to do.
You can't snap your fingers.
Well, you're way ahead of me.
I can't do the bird with my left hand.
You can't flip the bird.
No.
What's going on with? But with your right hand, you can.
Yeah.
You're the weirdest person alive.
That's really strange.
Wow.
I know.
All right. Debbie, thank you very much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. You can't believe some of the things that are on hold that our listeners can't do. And we'll take those calls when we return right after this. Our listeners are just a big bag of fail today, aren't they?
Well,
it's unbelievable.
The show's a big bag of fail. So
stuff that they can't do, stuff that I can't do. We were talking about how Lisa can't whistle. We learned that last week when we were playing Kevin and Bean Whistle the Hits. I confess that I can't snap my fingers. I can't blow bubbles with bubble gum. I can't talk to girls. Those are my three things. Kevin and Bean listener Lisa writes in that she can't do a cartwheel. Now, that one's – that's
maybe a little more difficult.
I think there are a lot of people who can't do a cartwheel, right?
I do, yeah.
Wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Jenna writes in, guys, I cannot cross my eyes. I've never been able to do it.
Hmm.
That's – interesting.
That is a surprise,
difficult.
Too.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to some calls at 1-800-520-1067. How about Jill to get us going here? She's on line two, joins us from Fountain Valley.
Hi, Jill.
Hi. Hi, Lisa May, Kevin.
Hello.
Hi, what is it that you can't do?
I cannot wink.
You can't wink.
That's just
no,
closing one eye instead of two.
I can't do either eye. The right eye, I have to scrunch up my entire face, and then I might get it to close. The left eye, I just use my finger and close the lid.
Okay, what if you close, can you close both eyes at the same time, like you're going to sleep, and then just open one of them?
No.
Genius bean.
So they don't work independently of each other at all?
No, I have to just scrunch my eye up. The right eye would be closer to doing it, but I have to scrunch my entire face.
But Jill, here's the good news. Winking is just not a thing that you should do. You never see somebody wink and go, "All right, that's cool."
And now you have emoticons.
So you're all right, Jill. Thank you for calling.
That is crazy, though, right?
Yes, I've never heard of that.
I've never heard of that before. All right, let's go to Caleb. He's on line four, Woodland Hills. Hi, Caleb. Thanks for calling the Kevin DeBean Show. How are you, sir?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hi.
What is it that
you can't do
that everybody else can?
I can't touch my shoulder with my same hand.
Is it an injury?
Are you swole?
No, both hands. I can't. I'm trying to do it right now, and I just can't do it.
With either arm?
With either arm.
All right, Lisa's question, are you swole?
No.
Are you CeeLo Green?
That was my next question.
No, it's not. I get made fun of it for all the time. All my friends can do it. It's a joke.
That's because all humans can do it.
Yeah, it's
no,
not.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's not even a difficult one.
Do you have little tiny hands?
It's not that far. I mean, it's really, really, your shoulder's really, really close to your arm. You know that, right?
It's right there. I know. I'm looking right. Come on now.
I would love to see what it looks like when you're trying to do that, because I can't even visualize how your hand can't reach that far.
It's hilarious. At parties all the time. My wife makes me do it all the time.
She does the right thing.
Please send us a video or something, would you? Because we'd love to see that. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Jennifer. She's on line seven. She's from Van Nuys, and I can't imagine how you could live if you couldn't do this. Jennifer, thank you for calling and holding on. What can't you do?
I don't know how to burp. I can't burp.
I don't know how.
Have you never, ever in your life burped once?
I might have, but not because I've, like, made myself. Like, I just can't. Like, everybody, my family, my sisters, they've always tried teaching me, and I just can't. Like,
what's that
mean? I don't know how.
Ew. I can't make myself burp.
I was just trying to make Jennifer feel bad. That's all. It's so easy to do, though,
yeah,
Jennifer.
I can't do it.
Here's the way I feel about it, is that you have to be taught as a kid to do it quietly, because it just happens automatically.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. My 9-year-old can do it, and he tries to show me, but I just can't. I
would love to watch video of your 9-year-old trying to teach you to burp. That would be awesome.
I mean, I guess, like with our caller with the winking, burping isn't something you need to do, I guess.
That's probably best that you can't.
It's probably okay. Thank you, Jennifer. We appreciate that. This is a weird group of people. All right, let's go to Evan. He's up next. He's on line one down in the LBC. Hi, Evan. Thanks for calling K-Rock.
Hey, I can't make the normal, like, symbol for three on my hand. Like,
holding up three.
Your thumb.
You mean you can't do your thumb and your pinky?
Yeah, I can't. I can touch them together, but I can't get my ring finger up to make the full symbol.
Is that an injury?
So it's actually, no, I think it's just the way my tendons are. Like, I can't do it. Like, it's almost painful for me to try and lift my ring finger.
Can you do, that's because you don't want to be married. Can you do the okay sign where you're touching your first finger and your thumb?
Yeah,
and then,
I can do that one fine. And I have the British one for three, like, was it like your middle finger, your pointer finger, and your thumb when I make the symbol. Like, I just can't do it. It hurts.
And this is both hands.
It hurts.
Yeah. It's like painful for me to try and make that symbol.
Crazy.
You're,
all right.
You're a weirdo, but all right.
Thank you for the call. I'm not sure I understand Karina. She's on line five, Lake Forest. Let's see what's going on with her.
Hi, Karina.
Hi.
So
I can't do anything with my tongue. How most people can flip their tongue or roll their tongue or make a clam, I can't do any of that.
Oh, yeah.
You have no control over your tongue.
Nothing at all.
No.
Have you ever had a boyfriend?
Once or twice. And I'm also with Lisa, too. I don't know how to whistle.
Well, that
whistle.
Involves your tongue, I imagine, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that could have something to do with it.
Well,
guys, don't date Karina. You'll be very disappointed.
I'm sure she has other talents.
Thanks. I'm sure she makes up for it. All right, one more. How about Christy on line three?
Hi, Christy.
Hi.
Hi.
Everybody else can do something you can't. What is it?
I cannot scream. I have never been able to scream since I was a little kid.
Wait. Can you yell?
I can yell, but I just can't scream. It comes out like a squeak, and I don't know if I've just never been taught. I don't know.
Can you put the phone away from your mouth and actually try for us?
But let me just say before we move on that no one gets taught to scream.
Yeah.
That's not a thing. You know when you're a baby you start screaming.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, hold the phone away and give it a try. Yeah, you're right. That's a terrible scream.
I need like a race whistle. I cannot, just in case, like in a scream that situation.
Yeah.
You know, or you need to somehow accidentally see Beer Mug naked.
Yeah, that would do it.
Yeah. That would do it.
Hello, 6.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:36. Congratulations to David Curran from Newhall. Just got tickets to see the Black Keys.
Oh,
what?
So lucky.
They are so great in concert. You will love it.
More chances for you to win Black Keys tickets coming up here on K-Rock. Actor Clark Gregg joins us next hour. Let's talk about fan fiction. Ralph brought it up on the show yesterday. There's a fan fiction been around for a long time, by the way. This is where you're a fan of, like, Star Trek, for instance, and you write stories about romance between members of the Starship Enterprise. I mean, it's been going on for decades and decades and decades, but it's kind of turned into big business a little bit after that lady who is now so famous for the 50 Shades of Grey. You know, that started out as Twilight fan fiction, just started out her writing her own stories about Twilight fan fiction, yeah.
So she takes the characters that are in it and the storylines or whatever, and then she writes mm-hmm. her own creative storyline involving them?
That's right. Yeah.
That's weird.
And, you know, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of sites like this and places on the internet where people do this. And some of it becomes quite popular and has quite a following. And the reason Ralph brought it up is because there's this lady who has been writing fan fiction about One Direction romance stories involving Harry Styles. And it has become so popular online that she has actually gotten herself a book deal with Simon & Schuster. So now they're going to be publishing that. And that's going to be a real thing that people can buy.
So she was writing it just kind of for herself, making stuff up about Harry Styles, and they're
yep.
going to – and now she has a book deal?
Now she has a book deal,
what
exactly.
What the hell?
So it's a big thing. It's a thriving industry out there, apparently.
Do you read fan fiction, Bean?
No, I'm not. I'm not interested. Look, real life is fascinating enough for me without making stuff up.
Well, I mean
– I love reading, but I don't read fan fiction. I like – the original books.
Bean's being modest. He's done some writing.
Bean has?
Yeah, I mean, he's done some fan.
What are you talking about?
He's done some fan fiction.
Bean?
Yes.
Really? Well,
we got Ralph tracked down an audiobook, which I thought was awesome.
Wait a minute. Hold on a sec.
Fan of something.
This is Bean, who's obsessed with, and in contrast to the rest of us who hate Tadolf Swindler.
Taylor Swift?
Bean is, quote, obsessed with Taylor Swift.
I do love her so much. That actually is true. But what do you think it is that I wrote?
Bean said, what do you mean, what do I think? I have it. Just give me a second. Bean said, did you guys see my new Twitter avatar? And we said, no, Bean, what's your new Twitter avatar? And he goes, Meredith. And we go, is that name supposed to mean something to us? Well, Meredith is Taylor Swift's cat.
Oh,
everybody,
my God.
And everybody knows that, Kevin.
And Taylor Swift's cat is really popular, he said. What the hell?
Taylor Swift's cat is really popular.
And weirder and creepier every day.
All Taylor Swift fans know about Meredith. She's a huge Instagram star. Come on.
Well, I have Bean's fan fiction. If you want to hear Bean's fan fiction.
I do, too.
About Taylor Swindler and her cat, Meredith.
All right.
Let's give it a listen.
Hey, I'm just an average 18-year-old pig farmer in Washington State. Nothing unusual ever happens to me. At least I thought, until the day a stray cat walked into my yard. I thought that cat looked familiar. Until I read its tag, and it said Meredith. I could tell right away there was an attraction between me and the cat. So I opened a can of tuna fish and rubbed the contents all over my
Meredith and I were enjoying sweet, sexy time in the barn when suddenly I heard the door creak open. Looking up, I saw a pale young girl with long flowing blonde hair and bright red lipstick. I knew at that moment it had to be my sweet tea swizzle. What the f*** are you doing, you pervert? She asked. To which I responded, don't knock it till you've tried it, sister.
Wazza!
I invited her to join our sexy time. She thought for a moment and said, you're pretty fly. It wasn't long until we decided to get jiggy with it. T-Swizzle said I was the bomb, and that she would write a song about me. I could tell the three of us were sharing true love. It was until Taylor found out I was hiding food from her. Sadly, she turned me into the authorities, and now my only contact with her is the occasional strongly worded letter I receive from her here in the Washington State Correctional Facility, where I'm doing 10 years for bestiality. I guess we're never, ever, ever getting back together.
File!
No, I won't take that back.
Oh, my God.
So, I didn't write that, but I was sure by it.
That's out there.
I just think you're terrific.
Roth, did you hear Bean's fan fiction?
Sadly, I did. Yeah. Very, very disturbing. I think the authorities need to pay a visit.
I agree.
Can you imagine what's on his computer at home?
A lot of pictures of Meredith, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I bet.
Hey, speaking of crushes, is Agent Coulson in the next room?
He is. But, you know, he's more than just Agent Coulson. You know,
oh, you don't have to tell me.
Clark Gregg is an accomplished actor and writer.
I'm an
director.
Obsessive Clark Gregg fan. You
His
know
new
that.
Film, trust me, by the way. Yeah. Had a chance to catch it last night. Awesome.
Same
awesome.
Here.
Very, very.
We all watched it.
Yeah, great.
Really good. Yeah. Can't wait to talk to him about it. He'll join us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Although he's still Agent Coulson.
Right.
And it's a little disturbing to have Agent Coulson sitting in the other room just singing along with Weezer. Just seems a little out of character. But it was kind of cool at the same time.
Can he take us on the plane, Ralph?
The bus? Hey, why don't you get it all? Why don't you learn something, all right? We don't call it a plane. We call it the bus.
Why is it a bus?
Because.
It's a plane. It sure flies a lot.
It does fly a lot, but its nickname is the bus.
Okay.
You're no Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., man. You don't know. You're That's Hydra. Right. You are Hydra, if you're anything. Bean is so Hydra. You're a ward. You're an Agent Ward. That's what you are. All right.
Well, now you're just being insulting.
It's Wednesday. It means it's a brand new comic book day.
Yeah! Hot buns on the morning. What's going on? Hot buns on the morning. I'm going to have some fun.
Hot fudge. Holy moly, indeed. Today marks the arrival of my first ever comic book that I've ever written is going to be on stands today. Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet in comic book stores everywhere around the Southland. Do yourself a favor and do me a favor and pick it up. I would sure appreciate that.
I bought it online.
Really? You download the digital version?
No, I bought the hard copy online.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So it's going to be mailed to your
Absolutely.
Home. Absolutely. You lazy bastard.
I'm supporting your effort.
Where are you? You're out there in the Tarzana, Encino area. So there's got to be a comic book store someplace out there.
I've never gone to a comic book store. I'm excited because you wrote it.
You're adorable. Yeah, it's me and Kevin
is
Smith.
A nerd.
Me and Kevin Smith and Ty Templeton who did the art. We're pretty proud of it, so you can check it out. And I also will be signing issue number one at the Golden Apple Comic Book Store on Melrose and La Brea.
Not coming to that.
In Hollywood, that's going to be fun. It's this Saturday at 1 p.m., so if you want to meet me and come out and have me sign the book, Saturday at 1 at Golden Apple, come on, check us out. That's a great
store,
too. Hey,
Ralph, what did your good friend Adam West think of the comic book?
Adam West. I don't know yet. I've sent him a copy, but I haven't heard back.
Is that a good, bad, or indifferent
sign? Well,
he's
very busy. Maybe he hasn't had a chance to read it yet.
It's a bad sign.
I've heard from his agent. His agent read it.
Oh, it's really good,
and
Ralph.
Loved it. His agent loved it.
I love it, so will Adam.
Wow. Why you gotta poop on my dreams, man? Why you gotta be like that? Let me give you something, people. I've got pairs of passes to the special premiere screening of 22 Jump Streets.
Yay!
This movie looks very funny. Once again, Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill are undercover cops. This time, though, Schmidt and Jenko are in college as opposed to high school in the first film. Ice Cube also returns. Who's the guy from Parks and Recreation? So funny.
Joel McHale?
No.
Chevy Chase?
You're talking Community. He's
community
talking
Parks and Recreation.
Oh, that's a whole different
mustache.
Show.
Mustache. Right mustache.
Yeah, yeah, oh, Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman. Yes. Yeah, he's in the film as well. Looks very funny. If you'd like to
Clark
go
Gregg.
To the... Nope. If you'd like to go to the screening, The special premiere screening of 22 Jump Street. That's the red carpet and the whole schmageggy. Call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through get a pair of passes to the June 10th event at the Village Westwood Theater. And 22 Jump Street, of course, is in theaters everywhere on June the 14th.
You know!
Check it out yourself. This is disturbing to me.
Okay.
Because I feel pain, because we hear about this kind of stuff all the time from our listeners. The Dave Matthews Band was playing out a sold-out show in Saratoga, New York. And a bunch of fans were disappointed when they got there and found out they were all holding forged tickets. Oh. Fake tickets.
Oh, God.
Is that from scalpers, usually?
This was one guy.
Oh, really?
He was on Craigslist selling fake tickets for $300 a pair. And they said hundreds of people bought them.
Wow.
But luckily, they were able to track the guy down and catch him. Trying to be a 16-year-old punk who was just printing his own tickets. Had bought one legitimate pair and was just printing duplicates of all those and sold them to a ton of people. So
I love that they got him.
Yeah, well, listen, if you're going to sell to people, you can't really do it via Craigslist where they see you and they know what you look like and stuff. I mean, you can be identified pretty easily. But they did catch him, and he has been charged with a scheme to defraud, possessing a forged instrument, and petty larceny. So we'll see what happens to him, but I hope they throw the book at him, because that's just so disappointing.
This is a new low.
It's not just you're being ripped off, but your expectations are built up to see your favorite band or whatever, and you get to the venue, and they scan those tickets, and go, just that big head shake, and you're walking back to your car in the parking lot. It's a nightmare, so I'm glad they caught that guy. Rob Kardashian of the Kardashian family is throwing a virtual temper tantrum on social media. Rumors have been swirling that he's battling with his famous family, and it looks like it is the case. He has unfollowed everyone in his family on Twitter. Oh, and it's on.
Wow. Oh, boy.
That is big. I'm
telling you, he's going to be the whistleblower. Rob's going to be the whistleblower in this whole Kardashian cartel.
I would like him to be. I'd like to know more.
I would, too. I want the book. I want everything. I want all the dark secrets. I want him to go at it. Yeah, he'd probably do it for, like, a box of donuts or something, wouldn't he?
Yeah, probably.
Looking at him?
Sure.
And Madonna, she runs a very tight ship with her staff. Apparently, it's very hard to work for her. I don't know if you heard these rumors or not.
I did not. It's not surprising, though.
It's really difficult to work for her when she knows who you are, apparently.
What does that mean?
Well, she was at a Pilates class, and she came out, and she spotted her chauffeur across the street from the Pilates class. She went ballistic.
Because she had
she walked across the street, laid into the guy, told him, "You were supposed to pick me up in front of the studio, not across the street from the studio. You're an idiot." Until the guy said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And she looked over, and her real driver was across the street in front of the Pilates stand waiting for her. She had no idea who her chauffeur was and assumed the guy across the street was her chauffeur.
Awesome.
Because why are you yelling at me? I don't work for you.
Awesome.
I don't know who you are, old man, but leave me alone, he said to Madonna.
She's a bitch.
Sounds like a little bit. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Bruce Dern. One of the best, really. Just a great character actor. Always has been. 78 years old today. Scott Wolf is 46. Comedian Horatio Sanstern's 45. Actor and comedian Rob Hubel is 45 as well. Noah Wiley is 43. Best known probably still from ER, but he was in that Falling Skies.
Yes,
that's right.
Angelina Jolie, 39. Russell Brand's 39. Bar Raffaelli celebrates her 29th birthday. Our own K-Rock DJ Ted Stryker celebrates his birthday today. But the reason we celebrate the day...
We never celebrate the day.
Oh, we always celebrate,
this day.
This is one of the great days of the year when get to pay tribute to one of our great, great performers, singer El DeBarge of the band DeBarge.
You're doing this to be funny,
Who's Johnny, though? I don't think we ever got to the bottom of that musical mystery. Who is Johnny?
That was from the Short Circuit movie?
That's
right.
Yeah, Johnny Five.
That's right.
Johnny Five. Ugh.
Wow, you are serious.
DeBarge, Kevin.
I know, but...
Is the problem, Kevin, that you have a different favorite DeBarge? Is that it? Is this just a... Are we splitting hairs here on who you like in the
James,
family?
Do you like James over L? Do you have a preference when it comes to DeBarge?
The idea that anyone would have any favorite DeBarge is ridiculous.
How can you not, given the rich musical legacy DeBarge has left us after all these years?
But you're doing it to be funny.
I am seriously
DeBarge-rific.
How can you love it? It's crap.
I don't know who that man is, but I don't like his tone.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We are definitely not worthy, but we always accept the invitation when the great Clark Gregg wants to come on the Kevin Bean Show to pimp whatever the hell he wants to pimp out. And he joins us now talking about his new film called Trust Me in theaters this Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, Clark Gregg is here. Hey, Clark.
I want to cop to the fact that I'm clapping for you.
You are clapping as well.
Clapping.
You're still clapping.
Well, you should, by the way.
Thanks for being susceptible to my begging.
Well, Clark, it's great to see you. We always love having you on to talk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And, first of all, amazing season just behind us. Can't wait to see what happens next year. So that's been a blast for you, I know.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, we had some stuff to deal with. We had some traitor types in our midst.
And then just trying to get Patton Oswalt out of the trailer, that alone must take up a lot of your time, right?
That guy's really difficult, man.
That's what we know.
You've never seen a happier fanboy than the first day he showed up in the Marvel Universe.
I think his head exploded when he realized he was going to be on that show.
Yeah,
we were just talking off here about how long it takes you to make an episode. 8 days. That 8 days. Seems impossible.
Thank you. It's always been, you know, kind of the tricky thing was how do you bring what people love about Marvel from the movies, which take, you know, 4 to 6 months of shooting and then another 8-10 months of visual effects.
Right.
And do it in 8 to 10 days, the shooting part anyway. And it's been certainly an adaptive experience as we went along. They kind of figured out more and more tricks like you can't really do this. You need to have 2 or 3 crews and one day while everyone else is shooting that's ostensibly your day off, you're over fighting some supervillains, you know, with a bunch of ropes and stuff.
Now, I read an interview with you where you said you try not to read ahead or have anyone tell you what's going to come because you just want to know only what your character would know.
Well, I want to.
That seems impossible.
I want to come clean now because this is the place where you kind of deal with the lies that you've told in your life.
Okay, good.
And you are laying down on the couch right now, so this is a good place.
And no one else can hear us.
It's really comfortable. I don't know why it's vibrating, but I'm just going to say thank you and hope that no attachments try to come out of this thing. I really said that because I'm not allowed to know. And I'd like to think I have control, so...
Oh, I see. So they won't tell you.
That's my rationale.
So you
they
said,
won't tell me anything.
Oh, you won't tell me because I don't want to know.
Yeah, when things are out of your control and you're an actor, you just make it part of your process.
I see. All right. Gotcha.
All right. So you're busy much of the year doing the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. How tough is it to write and direct and star in your own movie also?
I don't recommend it. It's kind of a nervous breakdown waiting to happen. This was not something I had to squeeze in because this was something I'd been working on for a while. And after the Avengers, I found myself dead. And
well, it was that.
Supremely out of work.
You were dead.
And as a matter of fact, I was dead because of – and I got to say that when I walked in and on Ralph's desk, I saw, unfortunately, what the hell – this is a Loki bobblehead.
Oh.
Yeah. And it looks nothing like Loki.
I didn't see – well, the Coulson one doesn't look much like Coulson. Yeah. Actually, no, that's the most realistic action figure they've ever made of me. But I have to admit I kidnapped Loki here just because I was upset that he was not represented by a Coulson bobblehead as well.
Sure.
So I found myself quite out of work and back to what I normally do, which is kind of, you know, little independent films for the most part. And
a lot of people don't know you write movies.
Yeah, I've written
a
couple movies. Yeah. I wrote a movie called What Lies Beneath when I first came to L.A. and wasn't getting any jobs as an actor. Wrote and directed another film called Choke from a book called Choke, ironically, by Chuck Palahniuk, who wrote Fight Club. That was about 4 years ago. And this was my second movie. And it's – trust me. And it's about a very struggling, aging loser. So people thought I was the perfect choice to play that part.
Was there ever a time where you weren't going to star in it, Clark, because you knew it would just be too much?
After I made the first film, which I had 25 days to shoot, and even that didn't feel like enough, and I acted in 3 days, I played the kind of – it's about a sex-addicted colonial theme park worker. So maybe K-Rock's the perfect place to be talking about it. He had a boss called the Lord High Charlie, who was the guy at the colonial theme park who couldn't stop talking in character.
Right.
And and he was kind of a D-bag. I don't know if I can say that. And I couldn't really give a part called the Lord High Charlie to anybody else.
Sure.
So I played that for 3 days, and I swore the next time I wouldn't make a film in less than 30 days, and I wouldn't act in it.
It seems to me like directing would take up 100% of anyone's time. I don't know how you can also be the lead actor.
No, you can't really, but it's I'm not the first person who's done
no,
it.
No, I know, but it just seems crazy.
It was crazy, and I woke up a lot of nights in the middle of the night going, well, don't do this, dude. Don't do this. What are you, crazy?
Did you yell, cut, Greg? Come on, bring it!
Yeah, exactly. I was so disappointed with my lead actor, and I couldn't get along with him. It was a schizophrenia festival. But I kept waking up thinking of different actors or directors I could pass the thing off to, but there was something about being in the core, in the middle of this kind of shot out of a cannon story about the, you know, this kind of crucial 2 days in this guy's life. And a couple of days into it, I realized, oh, this is going to help. There's the things that I don't get by doing both jobs are balanced out by the fact that there's a way that the chaos of trying to do all these things really creates the world of this guy's life. And then I had also been luckily smart enough and lucky enough to kind of surround myself with this incredible ensemble of my pals to kind of be my gang. And it was Felicity Huffman, Bill Macy, Allison Janney, yeah, Amanda Pete, Sam Rockwell, Molly Shannon, and these great actors who I've
unbelievable cast.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's talk about some of the names we weren't familiar with, although people certainly will be once they see Trust Me. We're talking to writer, director, actor Clark Gregg about the film, available on demand and on iTunes now in theaters this Friday. Where did you find Saxon Charbino, who plays the young child, up-and-coming child star, who is just riveting in this movie?
Oh, thank you. She's incredible. My partner is an amazing casting director and also now producer. Because she's so smart, I kind of said, no, you're producing this one. She cast the last one. She cast all David O. Russell's movies. And, you know, we looked around and we found some kind of polished young actresses. But this is supposed to be a discovery who's just got so much kind of raw magic that the town goes crazy and tries to separate Howard. Howard's a guy who I play who everyone always leaves him to go to his cooler nemesis, played, of course, by Sam Rockwell.
Who plays that so well.
Who's much cooler than you are.
In life and in this film.
So you're an agent.
And so I'm a loser agent for child actors who used to be a child actor, and everyone always dumps him. And then he stumbles on this girl, and she's magnificent, and they have a connection, and she's on the brink of the deal of a lifetime, and she's going to be the kid who takes him back to the big time. And everybody kind of tries to separate them, and as often happens, or I should say sometimes happens in Hollywood, so that I work again. Once the big zeros start to get tacked onto this, the long knives come out.
Right. And by the way, she's incredible. How old is she when you're making this movie, Clark?
She's 13.
That's insane. She's 13. That's crazy.
I want to say
she's
that
so
she's
so good.
Yeah, she's just about to be 14, or she just turned 14 now. And she had just arrived in town from Dallas, kind of very much art imitating life. And, you know, as opposed to in the film where she has this kind of dysfunctional dad, she has a really kind of healthy, balanced family who kind of went, okay, this seems kind of scary, but okay, let's go for it. And she and I had an amazing experience. And
well, it's your credit that you're getting her the wider exposure that she deserves, because she is she's quite a fine. And the actor who plays her father in the movie, Paul Sparks, equally riveting performance. I was unfamiliar with his work, too.
Well, the funny thing is I thought I was unfamiliar with his work. I saw a tape and I was blown away. And then I realized he was the same guy that I'd been watching on Boardwalk Empire, playing this completely different character, this kind of weaselly, whiny guy. In reality, he's this kind of smooth, strong, macho guy from Oklahoma.
I know the guy you mean. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You didn't know it was him.
He's a good actor.
That's acting. That's acting, my friend.
All right. We have to take a break. Clark Gregg is here on the Kevin and Bean Show like he do. The movie is called Trust Me. And trust us, you definitely want to see it. More with our guests when we return right after this on K-Rock. Great American, Clark Gregg in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, you know him.
What makes him a great American?
I mean, I like him. That's one I've never been called.
I like him a lot, but what makes him a great American?
Yeah. Come on,
seriously, I think his body of work stands for itself. He was on The West Wing, Kevin. That alone makes him a great American.
Yeah, Kevin.
Come on, Kevin.
I just chimed in on Lisa's
you
traffic
were asking
report.
The same,
that
yeah.
gets me in. I'm a little concerned about this thing on this westbound 10. That's where I'm going.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, it'll be gone by the time you get there.
Nice. I don't believe you for a second. Yes. Have you been to it in L.A. long?
Yeah.
Clark, do you keep in touch with people from the old shows, the old movies? I know you become you bond on set.
You mean like Leave It to Beaver? People from the old days? No,
sure. No, but I mean like Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I was thinking of her, you know, for all those years you worked, you know, side by side with her on The New Adventures of Old Christine. Is she somebody who, like, you're still friends with today, or does she forget you the minute she moves on to the next thing?
Oh, she's a mean person. no, she's a pal. She lives nearby. We get together. She's in Baltimore quite a bit doing her incredible show,
Veep,
which is so funny. And so kind of perfect for her. And
it must be tough for you to turn on a TV and flip around the channels and not run into people that you've worked with the stuff that you've done over the years.
I think it might annoy my daughter, every kind of character actor who delivers a cup of coffee. I'm like, that's Tony Johnson. He was in a production with me in New York in 1984. She's like, I don't care.
Stop telling me stuff.
And you told me that last night when he was in The Vampire Diaries playing the dad. All my friends are the dads and stuff.
Yeah. A lot of watching TV with Clark is hearing him say, I know that dude.
No, I've basically been beaten out of it by my daughter, who doesn't understand what a great American I am.
Oh, see, exactly. We're talking about the new film, which is called Trust Me. It's available now on demand and on iTunes. It is terrific and showing in select theaters this Friday. You've been in Hollywood a long time, Clark, and you are a great American.
Almost 75 years.
You do still need people to give you money to make movies, and you did not do yourself any favor by writing a script like this and then trying to get people to pay for it, right?
No, I can't deny that. That's true. It was always going to be a kind of an unusual mashup of a comedy and a film noir. And it's, you know, it's take some chances, which is what I think the purpose of doing independent films are. And it was always going to be a little risky and a little hard to finance on those terms. Then I decided that the two leads needed to be me. Me before the Avengers came out and a 14-year-old girl you'd never heard of.
So that made it easier on you.
It was
A
little tricky.
Yeah.
But I get this great cast around me, and there, you know, you look around, there are people who respond to the risk taking. There are people who are interested in the script and the chances it was taking, and got behind it.
It sure seems like Hollywood as a whole, and that's, you know, unfair to say.
Hollywood is a whole, by the way. You're right about that, Kevin.
Doesn't really like risks. They like to act like they're taking risks, but they need something that's a slam dunk for the most part.
You know, someone said once that everyone in Hollywood wants to be the second person to have a great idea. Once something's been proven to be effective.
Right.
You know, I think some of those cliches are also not true. I've met an amazing amount of incredibly smart, interesting people who love movies. And so the cliches are often not true. There's a reason they're out there, because they exist and those things happen. And, you know, this is a movie about the world of child actors. And at the same time, I think it could happen in any arena. It's about the kind of desperation for a moment of fame or success. It's fame in Hollywood. It's kind of the most phosphorescent obsession there is with that. But it exists in all kinds of parts of the American dream. I grew up, certainly you probably did too, watching kids on TV. And then next thing you know, you kind of see them in trouble.
Most of them.
A lot of them.
It really does seem like that,
And there's something wrong in that system.
Yeah.
This isn't a political expose. It's about one guy who was kind of traumatized by that system, who can't leave the scene of that crime, who then's trying to save another kid from the same thing, as long as he can do that and also make the deal of a lifetime.
Right. I was thinking as I was watching this movie, it's such a, you know, small personal movie that, let's face it, this thing wouldn't exist. Somebody else wouldn't have made this movie. This wouldn't exist unless you had a passion for it. But I was thinking, for every one of a movie like this that gets made, there's probably 100 other people out there with an idea that they just can't pull it together. And we're missing out on a lot of great art because it's so difficult to get films like this made.
That's so true. I'm on the brink of tears. It's a sad moment. It's a sad moment in independent film, just because, you know, the models are changing very quickly. And on the one hand,
I'd like to see some models changing. I didn't know that was a thing that we could do.
That's not what he was saying.
That's a different movie that I'm actually going to work on next, and I'm not going to give you any credit now, but that was a brilliant idea. Changing Room, the movie. It's, in a lot of ways, it's really weird and scary because the movie theaters are more and more a place where giant event movies that really belong. And on the other hand, there's also really amazing new technology that makes it possible to make these movies a little bit cheaper. A lot of people are coming up with cool ideas like this and just making them themselves. Then there's the problem of who's going to see them. And, you know, this is why this movie's out right now on iTunes and on demand. You like how I did that?
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you know, going to be at a theater, for example, the Lemley Noho in North Hollywood. This weekend,
that was a little see-through.
Was it?
The second one.
I believe in transparency. Even in my shilling.
Well, I will tell you this, and I told you this off the air. This is not the type of movie that I would look at and go, I am going to make time for that because I really only have time for one movie and it has to be loud. If I yeah, something has to blow up to get Kevin's attention.
Right? I watched it because you were coming in, and it's awesome.
Oh, thank you so
it's
much.
It's really
Kevin.
Good.
Thank you.
It's such a good story, and you're the perfect person to act in it.
Oh, thank you
really
so much.
Because he looks so much like a failed child star. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not exactly what I was saying.
I'm so glad the audience can't see me handing you rumpled 20s right now.
Well, the only complaint that I'll make, Mr. Clark Gregg, Great America, before we show you the door, is that you did spoil me a little bit with some of your other films that I've seen, because I waited around to the very end of the credits because I was convinced that Howard was going to end up signing Ant-Man or something was going to happen at the end to set up the next movie. But spoiler alert, nope, that's it.
Somebody needs to be directing that film, A. And there are things that happen. There is a fantasy element in this movie. As this guy gets more unhinged, he starts to see things from the movie within the vampire movie that this girl's trying to get. And there are things that happen to him at the end of this film that I would understand why you would think Director Fury or now, spoiler alert,
exactly.
Director Coulson might show up and recruit him.
The movie is called Trust Me, and it is available on demand and on iTunes right now. And give me the theaters again if you haven't off the top of your head starting this Friday, Clark.
Okay, get ready. It's a long list. The Lemley North Hollywood. That's
it's
where it's going to be.
Beautiful theater. It's a fairly new theater. It's only like a year
gorgeous.
And a half old.
Yeah. And I'm going to be doing a Q&A there.
Are you really?
And then
that's
there's
awesome.
No, I'm just saying that's so people will go.
I
now,
like
they,
it.
That, now,
damn
now,
you.
Now people are returning their tickets. No, I am going to be there Saturday night doing a Q&A.
Okay.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
That's cool.
I'm
well,
going to be throwing bobblehead, Coulson bobbleheads into the crowd.
And Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming back for season 2.
Yes, it
are
is.
They gonna, is it going to be the same schedule where they put one on in the middle of the day and then a month later they show it on a different network and then there's a big six-month break?
I'm getting from your tone that this wasn't something that was popular with you.
I I'm love say, the show, but it wasn't on regularly.
I fully agree.
Okay,
come
good.
Get me, Marvel Spy Satellite. I hated it. I don't think, you know.
It's hard to keep up with a show that's not regular. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm gonna.
You're just
gonna hold on.
I'll
I'm gonna
say it.
Take.
I'll say.
As
say
I've
it.
Been coached, I need to take a breath so
okay.
I don't say anything that I'm gonna regret. I agree.
Okay,
and what I will say is, it's symbolic of trying to take something that's never been on TV before, a Marvel thing, and bring it to TV. They had to find their way. So what they've announced now is, and I can say it here
okay.
first, even though someone said it last week.
Sure.
Oh, thank you for that. It's going to have almost no breaks. It's
oh, no
going
kidding.
To be 10. I'm going to get the numbers wrong. 10 of our show.
Okay.
Right in a row.
Good.
To keep the attention deficit people.
That's me.
Like you. Mm-hmm. Engaged. Then there's going to be, I believe it's 8 or 10 episodes of Agent Carter with the spectacular Haley Atwell.
Okay.
Okay.
In a row.
Right.
All right.
And then there'll be the final 12 of ours where we take over the entire universe.
I love it. That's
spoiler.
Very satisfying. Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, thanks for bringing that up.
But you did give away
your comments got to change.
Okay, yeah. I'm sure they did. Thank you for coming in, Greg.
Thank you for having me.
Diane Casillas from Buena Park, latest winner for our Breakfast with Jack White. If you want to join us, by the way, we'll have tickets all week and into next week because next Thursday, 1 week from tomorrow, we'll be in the Red Bull Sound Space with the great Jack White. You can help us interview him and hear him play live. His new album is coming out next week. It is called Lazaretto. Go to KROQ.com for more details. Hey, do we have time for some Kevin and Bean Afro?
We do. I'm not exactly sure why this advice is being given. The number's 323-520-AFRO, and this guy felt the need to call and let everybody know that you should do something.
Make sure your penis is washed before you leave the house.
I guess that's like make sure your underwear is clean.
What the?
Kind of same
why?
Thing.
Why?
Good advice. I mean, just from a hygiene standpoint.
Yeah.
But what do you suppose happened that made him think I better spread that word?
I'm not positive.
He didn't, and he got caught.
Dave the King of Mexico has been a voiceover actor now for quite some time.
Sure.
He's, of course, world-renowned for...
Damn, that girl is tight.
Oh, that girl is tight.
I'd like to hire that guy as our producer. Is that cool?
Sure.
We had Manny Ramirez on yesterday, day before. I don't know. It all starts blurring together.
Oh, my God, you got me. Manny Ramirez, Bon Bimbo, yes. Sorry. Is Manny's band going to be at Acoustic Christmas?
Don't do drugs, kids.
Hey, this is a song for the show Game of Thrones. Mountains just killed a man, put his thumbs inside his head, squeeze real tight and now he's dead.
Yeah, his head exploded. That happened.
Hey, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, his head exploded. That happened. This girl is not as obsessed with this bit as we are, and I believe that we will do this until the day we die. So she might just need to get used to it.
Oh my God, we're talking to Larry Flint. Is he going to fall out of his chair? Is he going to walk? Is he going to walk? Is he going to do it? Oh, how does that happen? You guys suck.
Am I right, Bean?
I completely accept her scorn, and I also share your enthusiasm to continue to do the bit.
That's right. Ralph is starting a new thing.
So, Hot Fudge Holy Moly, is that the sequel to Two Girls, One Cup?
It is not. No.
That doesn't even make any sense, really.
We don't track that. This is true, by the way. If you have to work the day after the Weenie Roast weekend, it's rough.
It's hard.
And there's usually nobody here except for us.
Being at work at 8 a.m. the day after Weenie Roast, only one thing I got to say. Woo! Hot fudge, holy moly!
Woo!
Hot fudge, holy moly! What's going on? Hot fudge, holy moly! I'm going to have some fun.
We did a contest where I believe the guy's name was Al, who was mocking me. I asked if his phone was in his ass, and he said it's in your ass.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? Super funny.
Fire beer mugs. Hire Al. Fire beer mugs. Hire Al.
I think Al was the guy that Beer Mug got into the Twitter fight
with. Oh, that's what it was. Oh, yeah, because...
And Al just served Beer Mug.
It was like 5-0 or 6-0. I don't know what
exactly.
Score was, but...
I just got back from 2 weeks on a cruise ship for my honeymoon. You know what the best part of the trip was?
I'm going to let you guess, Bean. He's addressing this to you.
Okay, he just got back from where now?
A 2 week honeymoon on a cruise ship.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best part of it?
The best part of it would have been the buffet, Kevin and Bean.
It wasn't the endless food or the lobster tails or the beautiful ocean. It was the fact that I didn't have to hear your goddamn mouth clicking for 2 whole goddamn weeks. Move your microphone, asshole!
My God.
I'm glad you enjoyed your honeymoon, sir. Welcome back.
We tell Bean this about once a week, and he just doesn't care. He just doesn't think anyone hears it. But that guy was not happy.
God damn it. Is Donna on the phone? Someone get Donna on the phone. I want to know why Bean has to hide his damn cashews when he's having a Brazilian nut day and wants to up it up with a cashew. Why if he can't get any damn cashews? Someone get Donna on the phone.
That's not bad.
Bean That's a terrible Casey case of impression, but I do appreciate the effort.
But Bean does hide food.
Yeah.
I do hide food.
And that's
true.
Weird. I'm excited to go to Brazil for the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone thinks that it's going to go well.
Okay, I got a joke. A radio DJ, a midget, and a supermodel all go to Brazil. Kevin dies.
That's not a joke. How's that a joke?
It's really more of a prophecy.
And finally, I'm glad this guy called because I had completely forgotten about what he's requesting.
Hey, guys. It seems as though every time you end the Afro line segment, you end up with some kind of a musical bit that you haven't played in a while. How about you guys play that one song that goes, Badger, 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 Mushroom, Mushroom.
Remember that song?
That's a good idea.
There's another minute?
Yes,
would
I would.
Believe that?
No. Yes, I would.
Mushroom,
big finale.
We don't have time for the whole thing.
No, God, no.
I don't know how it's longer than that, but we don't have time. 323-520-AF. You think it's missing that?
I do. It needs a little vocal backup.
It's the World Famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5 minutes till 9.
Cascade is our guest right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Then the great Adam Carolla will join us as well. First, though, it's time for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat.
And nobody gets my dishes cleaner or my glasses more spotless, by the way. So I'm glad they're coming in because I'd like to thank them personally for all their hard work and all their dependable service over the years.
Yeah, producer DJ.
I don't care what he does. It's off time. He makes a great detergent, I think it really works well for my...
What the hell?
Spelled differently as well.
I'm just saying, Kevin, if you went to a comic book store, it might open up your eyes and introduce you to a brand new world.
How can you be upset? I ordered a copy of your comic book online to be delivered, and I've never bought one before.
I understand. This is the first comic book Kevin has ever
bought,
and I'm honored that
because I'm excited for you.
It is my comic book.
But I didn't buy it the right way.
Batman 66.
I'll punch you right in the face.
Meets the Green Hornet is on stands today. It's new comic book day, which is Wednesday, and it's in all comic book stores and available online, apparently, everywhere. So, pick up your copy today. But I'm just saying, and I'm flattered and honored that you're buying it online, and I appreciate your support.
I'll punch you.
Enormously. I'm just saying, for your sake, should you finally walk into a comic book store for the first time in your life, you might be like, wow, this is really cool. You know, sometimes your wife drags you to movies that you would never go to ordinarily, and you go, wow, I'm really glad I had that experience.
It does happen to me a lot.
You might walk into a comic store and say, this is a lot of cool stuff in here. It's not just comics. There's T-shirts and merchandise and posters and things. What a fun place. It may open you up to a whole new world.
Actually, I got a tweet from somebody, which is how I found out. He's like, oh, if you don't want to go to a comic book store, here's a link, and you can go there and you can buy it online. I was like, all right, perfect.
We almost had Kevin. Yeah. Gonna have somebody throw a black bag over your head and chloroform you and make you a nerd. But
I do hate a lot before I'm experienced to it, and then it's all great.
Well, I appreciate that.
Or exposed to it.
What did I say?
All of those things. Ask Greg. He knows. Bean, what are you buying yours? Where are you buying your comic book today?
I don't know the name of the place, Ralph. It's not far from here, though. It's off the island, but I know exactly where it is, and I know exactly the store that I'm going to.
Then
and
me
I'm
pick too.
It up. I don't know. I've never been in there before, but I know where there is a comic book store, and I don't know the name of the place.
Me too, then.
It might be called Midnight Comics or something. I'll look it up.
Midtown, maybe? Midtown?
I can't remember. I can't remember what it's called, but I'm going to pick one up today. I'm excited about it.
Well, I appreciate your support. Lisa, where are you?
I was going to read Kevin's when he was...
Oh, second-hander? You're one of those second-handers.
I'm a second... I like to... the book club.
I got no time for you.
This is the first time that I've heard that, too, by the way.
How many issues are there going to be in the series, Ralph?
It's a six,
if you pay attention.
Six-issue miniseries, yeah. So once a month... Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet will be on stands. So, it's exciting.
I'm not sure I'm going to get the second one. It depends on how the first one goes.
You will.
It depends on how the first one goes.
I'm going to sign you into a subscription that's going to mail them to your house. And Saturday, June the 7th, this Saturday at 1 p.m., I'm going to be signing copies of the book at Golden Apple, which we're talking about comic book stores, is the greatest comic book store in the world. So come on out on Saturday at 1 p.m. and come on down. See me, and we'll talk Batman and Green Hornet and all things cool and fun.
How
like
can
that.
You love it? It's crap.
It is not crap, sir. I'll tell you that. I don't like that guy, whoever he is. Rumors now that Nick Loeb may have been the one to give Sofia Vergara her walking papers in their relationship. Is that
the
possible?
Guy that sang Cruel to Be Kind?
Really?
No, that's Nick Lowe.
Oh,
I'm Nick
sorry.
Loeb, her fiance, and they have split up.
What about the story that he brought?
I told you yesterday, he brought Onion Crunch to the White House.
Trying to get Obama
to get the president to pose with his box of his product. Now... sources are telling the New York Post that Nick's called it quits because Sofia Vergara is, in the words of the informant who gave the New York Post the story, a horror. Even throwing her now ex-boyfriend's phone out a car window back in 2011 when she didn't like the text he was getting. They're fiery. They're fiery, those Latinas.
Yes, they are.
You got to know that going in. You're signing up for some fiery action.
She's Colombian, right?
She is. Yeah. She will cut your throat and pull your tongue out of your throat. That will
happen.
Colombian
necktie.
That's the Colombian necktie, and she will do that to you.
I don't think so.
On a regular basis.
I don't think
you need
that's
a
true.
Surgeon standing by at all times to put your tongue back in your throat.
I do not believe that's the case.
But I'm saying, I bet it'd be worth it. Whatever. I can get a new phone. But, Aichi Mama.
You get a new neck.
I'm saying, I'm saying, in the sheets.
Yeah,
that passion pays off. You dig?
I dig.
You dig, Daddy-O?
I dig.
Or are you in Squaresville, man?
I dig.
All right. Adam Levine and Blake Shelton like to prank one on each other on the Voice.
They seem like they're not just coworkers, but actually good friends.
Yeah, they seem like they really have a good time. Rumor has it that Blake tweeted out Adam's phone number.
Sweet.
This week. Miranda Lambert, Blake's Shelton's wife, said she doesn't know for sure, but she says, my husband's not that mean. I'm fairly certain it was just a publicity ploy, that story. So we're not really sure. But we do know for a fact that Adam Levine did send Blake Shelton and his wife Miranda a 9-foot-tall photo of the cover of People magazine when he nabbed the title of Sexiest Man Alive.
That's funny.
So it is starting to escalate, and I'm all for it. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. K-Rock DJ Ted Stryker celebrates his birthday today. It doesn't say what his age is here. I'm guessing 12, 13.
No, I think you're in the ballpark.
He's youthful. He's a youthful kid.
You're in the ballpark.
Stryker has a tail!
He does have a tail. That we do. It's true. He has a tail.
Mm-hmm.
Bar Raffaelli, 29 years old today. The lovely and talented model. Russell Brand's 39, as is Angelina Jolie. Noah Wiley's 43 years old. Actor Rob Hubel is 45. Comedian actor Horatio Sanz turns 45. Scott Wolf, or Wolf, if you're Dave the King of Mexico, from Party of Five. And V, he is 46 years old. It's another guy that doesn't age. He's one of those damn actors looks 25 perpetually. Yeah. Bruce Dern, 78 years old. He is a guy who ages, by the way. Bruce Dern. He
ages for everyone. He's looked that age since I was born.
He has picked up the aging baton and is currently running across the finish line with it.
He's not afraid to look older.
He's not too concerned with a youthful appearance, is what we're saying. And singer El DeBarge. El DeBarge is 53 years old today. Give me some L.
Come on.
Give me some L.
Looks like the most disposable.
Oh, come on! It's got a Latin sensation to it. This is the song I want to be playing when Sofia Vergara pulls.
Adam Carolla joins us in minutes here on the show, like he do. Kevin, you must feel like you've been dance or die for so long, and
that's
the rest
me.
Of the world is just finally catching up with you, right?
Absolutely.
It's incredible. I mean, EDM music is everywhere. Of course, we had Avicii headlining the K-Rock Weenie Roast this past weekend. Our guest on the phone, Cascade, he sold out the Staples Center a couple summers ago. He was the first EDM artist to do that. Of course, a headliner at Coachella. I mean, you can't get away from this music. It's only getting bigger and bigger. And there's a very special event happening this weekend that Cascade is involved in where you get a chance to be with him and do some good for a good cause as well. We welcome Cascade to the Kevin and Bean Show for the first time. How are you, sir? Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
It is our pleasure. It's crazy. We were having a conversation with your friend Pasquale Rotella in here the other day about the EDC this year. And every time we talk to somebody in your world, it's just gotten bigger and bigger. It's almost like there's no ceiling to how big your kind of music can get now.
The appetite is insatiable. We keep making these festivals bigger and the concerts bigger, and yet they continue to sell out. It's pretty crazy.
And you've been doing it for a while. When did it explode? I mean, you were doing it 10 years ago, more?
More. I'm like past two decades in this thing. So
for the first however long, I mean, it was a pretty niche thing, and then all of a sudden it just exploded. Why do you think that happened?
It's hard to say, and I get asked that a lot, like, what happened? Because I feel like really things started to shift and change in the last 3 or 4 years.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't know what you attribute it to. I think a part of the success is due to radio support. You guys are playing more EDM. I mean, there's just more of it out there. I think it needed some time to kind of cook in the oven. The artistry wasn't there 2 decades ago. I feel like it was still kind of, it wasn't quite ready. The music wasn't quite there. But it grew and got to the point where people were ready.
I feel like one of the things that might be you could attribute this to, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, is that you're writing more song structure. There's more song structure. There's more verse chorus than there used to be.
For a long time, it was largely just instrumental music. It was more sound design than anything. It was more rhythmic based than anything. And then I think more songwriters kind of discovered electronic music, and that those collaborations were happening, and it made it more accessible for people.
And what about the, you know, you remix Lady Gaga and Beyonce and a bunch of different people. What about that? Has that helped, do you think?
A little bit. That audience has been there for a long time. And we pop guys were always having their songs remixed so that they could be played in the club.
Right.
Nobody took that form of it very seriously. But then that slowly started to become more and more popular. It's hard to put it on one thing. I think it's a culmination of a lot of things. You know, people were just tired of whatever, you know, current flavor of music. Now people are discovering and finding more music through, you know, different platforms. It used to be just the radio. Now it's like, oh, you know, you can look on Twitter and see what your friends are listening to, or, you know, just a lot more ways to discover music now.
This is the voice of Cascade here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about, among other things, the explosion of EDM music. It sounds like you're just setting us up for a big backlash. That's, you know, there's nothing, there's no musical trend that gets this popular that doesn't start to have haters, right?
And the hate's out there. Listen, I grew up in Chicago, and I definitely have vivid memories of, Comiskey Park and those guys blowing up the disco records in 79. So, you know, part of me is like, oh, man, is that coming? Is that like next summer? Are we going to be in Dodger Stadium, like, blowing up EDM records? I think this has been a lot slower burn. I think in the last 4 or 5 years, certainly there's been this huge explosion, but there's a lot more of a foundation now than there was, you know, for disco. Although it feels like to everyone on the outside, like, whoa, this just happened.
Right.
I mean, for the guys that have been in it for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, we're like, nah, I mean, we've been working hard and long to make sure that people heard the music.
I think what ruins genres of music is the people who come along and realize that's the sound, and then they try to mimic it, and they're not as good, and so that kind of waters it all down.
Yeah, and that's just starting to happen. I mean, the thing is, look, 10 years ago, anyone who was involved with this music and people that I met at shows or whatever, everyone was involved in it or in it because they loved it.
Right.
There was no money. There was no, like, oh, I'm going to be in this to get rich, because that just didn't exist.
Right.
So you knew if they were in it, they were like, oh, man, I love this. This is what I want to do. You know, I'm making a living barely, or I'm starving and I'm squeaking by and I'm figuring out how to make it work. But now it's like, yeah, there's a lot of people that have just kind of, like, hey, man, I'm in this. This is my life. And you're like, wait, what? Where did you come from? You know,
I was in Las Vegas, Cascade, over Memorial Day weekend, and a lot of people were talking about Martin Garrix, you know, because he had that big show there. And, I mean, he's 18 years old, and I feel like he's, you know, he's like one of those skateboarders who got into the sport after Tony Hawk and guys like that worked so hard for nothing and blew it up. And now you can be 18 years old and make a huge living doing something like this, which must kind of blow your mind when you think about what your life was like back then.
It's crazy. Well, I met Martin for the first time a year ago out in Amsterdam. I played a huge festival with him. And it's right when Animals had just been released. Like, literally, it was maybe 5 days old. And I was like, hey, man, I think you have a massive hit on your hands. And he's like, really? You think so? I can't believe you're paying me. You know, he was very like, wow, I'm meeting Cascade. And it is interesting to see these kids, you know, 17, 18, 19 years old, getting into it and just having this kind of, you know, profound effect and being able to make, millions of dollars overnight.
One last question about the genre, and then we'll talk about the Spark Run. And,
yes.
And that is, do you think it would have progressed a lot faster had computers been where they are now when you started? Because really, 8-year-olds can make amazing music on a computer if they understand it at all, and it didn't used to be that way.
No, this is another reason why it's kind of having its moment. I mean, the first studio that I bought and worked to make happen, you know, I worked for years and years to buy my first sampler. It was $4,000 and it had,
whoa,
you know, 3 seconds of sampling time.
Wow.
Like, you know, now a laptop that's in, you know, your parents' kitchen is more powerful than what they started Motown on.
Yeah.
So it's that certainly had a huge effect on, getting the music out there.
Very interesting. All right, let's talk about the Spark Run. It is back this weekend at the Fairplex in Pomona. This is your typical 5K run walk, except a little bit of a twist here. You're doing it at night. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I think, you know, most people
work out in the morning. They wake up, get up at 5 a.m., go work out before work, and that's never been my thing. I'm always kind of a night guy. So I thought, hey, let's combine electronic music and a night run. We'll do it at night, you know, start as the sun sets and have the course be lit up, have it be a fun, you know, take a lot of these elements of these electronic music festivals, incorporate them into the course, and at the finish line have a show.
Is it?
And because, you know, at the end of a lot of these fun runs, whatever, the turkey trot or whatever you do, you get at the end line, and they've got some guy with his iPod there, you know, plugging away a few tunes, and everybody's right. kind of having a good time. And I was like, man, I could do this a lot better. let's make a party out of this.
Do you have to do it differently because it's an all-age show? Or no?
This is definitely for everybody, which is cool, and I think there's a lot of fans out there that appreciate that. They can't make it to my shows at 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning or whatever.
Right, or EDC, Vegas, they need to be 18.
So I think there's a lot of people out there that love the music that aren't able to see shows that are like that or that have, you know, $250 cover charges to get in. So this is something that's it's geared and it's aimed for you know, a wider audience and people that appreciate this kind of thing. I think a lot of people work out to electronic music. It is very motivating and inspiring, so it works really well. I think a lot of people, that's the only time they listen to this kind of music, you know, it's in their iPod when they go to the gym. So to kind of couple these things together just made a lot of sense to me.
Well, I think it sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, to be running with like-minded people, it's called the Spark Run. They're encouraging, costumes and glow sticks and LEDs. And when you do sign up to run, by the way, you do get a T-shirt and a race bib, LED bracelet, and a glow necklace. And then, as you mentioned, there'll be a concert at the end of the thing. So it's the SparkRun.com, and I don't think we've mentioned this yet, but you couldn't have picked a better charity to benefit from everybody showing up this weekend, which is the Special Olympics of Southern California, which is a great, great charity. So the first date was in Denver last month. This is the second run of the series. You can go to thesparkrun.com, thesparkrun.com to get your tickets, and it's this Saturday, June 7th at the Fairplex in Pomona. Cascade, I'm so glad we got to spend a few minutes with you, man. Congratulations on your phenomenal success. I hope we get to talk to you again soon, sir.
Thank you very much. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Once a week, we like to catch up with our old friend Adam Carolla, the Ace Man at AdamCarolla.com. His next live podcast is going to be the Ice House in Pasadena, but sorry, that one is completely sold out. You can still go to AdamCarolla.com for all the fine family of podcasts there, and you should be reading his new book called President Me, The America That's in My Head. The Ace Man is here, and it's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at number 3 and working my way on up to number 1. First off, I was just doing my podcast yesterday and heard about some strumpet that wrote a book about some celebrity she slept with and some politicians she slept with. And I feel like every 10 days there's a new whore coming out with a book. And then I realized there's nothing in it to be a celebrity or a politician anymore because you're going to get ratted out. I mean, it used to be the pay wasn't that great, and sure, you might get assassinated. You'd definitely be banging some interns.
Right.
Now,
so there's some payoff.
Yeah. Now, do you think a president could have an affair and us not know about it
these days? I doubt it.
Impossible. And then I started thinking about it. If you had sat down, if Joe Kennedy had got all his sons around him in, like, 1933 and said, look, any of you thinking about running for politics or president, fine, no punani on the side. They all would have went, screw it, I'm going to go work at a box factory. They literally, we wouldn't know who the Kennedys were.
That's true.
They would have just all walked away because it's not the pay, it's the perks.
Yeah.
And Bill Clinton, I think like some of our greatest leaders would have never taken the role. They would have never taken the gig if we were living in the day and age we're living in now.
And I think you make an excellent point, Adam, because what that means is there are a lot of great presidents that we will never know about because they can't go into politics because they bother, you know, they dared to live a little bit.
Whores, you're ruining this country. You really are. You're taking guys who go, I would be great. I could lead. I could get us out of Afghanistan and Iraq. I could take care of foreign affairs. I could get people back to work. But you know what? I like a little something on the side. So you know what? I'm just going to keep my gig over at Nabisco. That's it. All right. Number 2,
My son, he was yakking all over the place the other night, just vomit all over the place. And then we're cleaning it up. And by the way, you know it's bad when you're not going for the paper towels, but you're going for the scrapers. You know what I mean? Like, get the dustpan and the and Dark Side of the Moon, and let's see if we can scrape this stuff into the, like, you're first picking up stuff before you're,
oh my God,
before you're mopping.
I'm not positive we need that much detail.
All right, but here's what I want to say. When it comes to yakking, it's the worst thing you can clean up, right? There's really nothing worse. The snot rocket, whiz, knocked over beer, whatever it is. Yakking is the worst. What comes out of you is the worst thing that anyone can clean up. The person who does the vomiting has never cleaned it up once in history.
Well, what do you think, that's going to stop them from vomiting in the future?
No, I'm just saying it's not fair. When you're a kid, you vomit, and then you fall back into bed, like, oh, and your mommy comes running in, and daddy comes running in, they clean it up. And then when you get older, you yak and pass out in the back of a VW Squareback. But either way, you never have to clean up your own sick. You vomit at restaurants when you drink too much. I vomited in an ice maker in Tijuana. I didn't clean it up. The thing is, it's the most vile thing on the planet that comes out of you is the one thing you don't have to clean up yourself. If you knock over a cup of coffee, guess who cleans it up?
Yeah, that's you.
You
that
do. You. And by the way, I wouldn't mind cleaning up your coffee. It's not bad, but your vomit, I got to clean that up. It just doesn't sound fair. It seems like we got it backwards, people.
Well, this starts at home. I think your son needs to start cleaning up his own vomit.
You're right. You're right.
All right.
And later on, when he knocks over his coffee, I'll clean that up. But for now, get your sick ass out of bed and get to mopping, boy. And number one, I say it about this time every year, but I turn on SportsCenter, and I was watching some baseball highlights, and then I found out the Dodgers were playing the White Sox. Are you sitting down? The White Sox are 29-29, and the Dodgers are 31-29. And I thought, oh, good, just 100 more games to go. I'm scared to leave the house. I don't want to miss a pitch. Because the Dodgers could be 31-31, or they could be 32-30. Who cares? There's 100 games to go. And by the way, all you idiots who live and die with your team, you're such schmucks because you go, oh, geez, the Red Sox, we've lost 7 games in a row. And then 10 minutes later, you go, we've won 9 games in a row. You're going to go 500, but you're not going to go 500 back and forth. You don't flip a coin. It goes heads, tails, heads, tails, heads, tails, heads, tails. It'll go heads 4 times in a row, and then it'll go tails 4 times in a row. But either way, you'll end up in the middle.
Okay. So
stop it. Stop it, baseball.
Stop it, baseball.
Limit it to 100 games. Look, can we just agree at 100?
100? How many are there? 160?
Like 162.
That's ridiculous. Right.
Everybody, it's 60 games in and everyone is 30-30. Why do we care? We could start the season tomorrow brand new and everyone would just be where they were. The Dodgers are a game above 500 and the team they're playing is exactly 500.
I think you've already got a new chapter for your next book, Adam. Buy President Me, the current book, The American That's in My Head. It's available everywhere, but you should buy it through the Amazon.com link at AdamCarolla.com. Same place you find The Adam Carolla Show and The Adam and Dr. Drew Podcast. Ace Man, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon, sir.
Thank you. Job, little job for me.
Dear God, stop talking. For a minute.
Even when Pete and I have something in common, we have nothing in common.
Just for a minute.
Guys,
just stop.
There's a reason that Archie has been a comic book title for 75 years. It's good. Yeah, it's popular. People like it.
Lots of people in the world.
What were you going to say there, Ralph?
The word that he used off the air that you know?
No, I was going to say another P word, but I thought maybe I would steer clear of the stronger.
Why the hate on Archie? So he's not a superhero. That doesn't mean he's not still an awesome kid.
All the comic books in the world, you were reading Casper the Friendly Ghost and Archie and Little Lulu. You're just a giant fail. You're just a massive, you're just a tool of mythical proportions.
There's room for people who like different kinds of movies. There's room for people who like different kind of music. There's also room for people who don't buy the same comic books as you. Doesn't mean they're bad.
Who likes Archie's the best?
Archie's the
Kenny G of music. It is. It's elevator music.
What about when he schedules a date with Betty, but then he also has something that he has to do with Veronica on the same night and he has to run back and forth and do them both at the same time? What about when that happens? There's just
did
not
you grow a... up in the 40s?
There's just not enough FU
in the
world.
Was that wartime reading for you as you sat by the radio listening to FDR give his fireside chats? What's wrong with you?
I bet there are a lot of our listeners.
Stop
who
it.
Grew
you
up.
Always say this.
That's always your fallback position.
And then Dean will get two emails and he'll go, I got all kinds of response from people that.
It usually happens, but I'm right, by the way.
Yeah.
I bet there are a lot of listeners who grew up, who listen to this show, who you otherwise would think are regular, cool people, Ralph, who happen to read different comic books than you did. And that's okay.
Here's all we want to hear from you.
I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way.
Yes.
Well, I'm never going to be wrong about Archie because Archie rules.
But look, I guess, look, everybody still? Picks up an Archie once in a while.
Does
but
Archie rule still?
If you're a kid and you're reading comic books, no one has a steady diet of Casper and Little Lulu and Richie Rich and Archie. It's just no one does that. Into your life, a little superhero must fall once in a while.
Especially in the comic book world.
Yes, which is massively dominated by superheroes. How do you go out of your way just to read about Spooky and Casper, the friendly ghosts?
I don't remember ever being into any of the superhero comics.
Of course you weren't.
I don't think those were the ones.
You giant, ballless tree of a man.
Wait, hold on. No trees have balls. I don't understand that analogy at all.
You are a giant, ballless tree of a man.
All right, let's switch subjects to a guy who apparently is cooler than I am, Ralph Garber with the
oh,
show.
Oh, there's no team. Question about that.
The reason we've been talking a lot about comic books today is because my first ever comic book that I wrote along with my buddy Kevin Smith is now on stands today. If you have a comic book store near you, or even if you don't, go out of your way and pick up Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet, issue number one, available today in stores everywhere. And I'm doing a signing on Saturday at 1 p.m. at the Golden Apple Comic Book Store, my favorite comic book store in the Southland. At 7018 Melrose Avenue to celebrate my first comic book. I'm very excited. You know what I didn't go out of my way to write? A Casper book. I wasn't writing, ooh, Archie meets Jughead. That wasn't the title of my book. Superheroes.
You would have been so depressed if you had to write that
one. In a world
one.
Of geeks, amongst geeks, you're a geek.
Open up a blog.
And Bean's not the only one with problems. Can we just take a moment here?
Sure.
To talk about Kevin.
Unless it's me.
Kevin's skill with the Twitter. Kevin's Twitter skills.
Come
this
on.
This morning was spectacular.
How dare you?
You guys talked to Cascade this morning about the Spark Run in Southern California this Saturday.
I said it right.
At sparkrun.com.
I said it right on the air.
Kevin's first tweet. Go to smartrun.com.
Ironic.
Smartrun.com. The Spark Run is what you guys were talking about.
To buy tickets, yeah.
Tweet number two. Corrected tweet. Number two. Go to the Spart Run. Spartrun.com. Which doesn't even, there's no, well, not, no such thing
but
as a Spart.
I changed the M to a P because
right.
That's so, needed to be done.
That,
but I left the T
one,
in.
One letter at a time? Is that how you change your tweets?
Apparently.
At which point Cascade himself tweeted, third time's a charm, Kevin. The guy who organizes it is mocking you on Twitter, yes.
He saw that?
Yes.
That's so embarrassing, Kevin.
Cascade tweeted at the Kevin Ryder, third time's a charm.
That's the least I do that's
to which
embarrassing.
Kevin went back and finally tweeted the correct link to thesparkrun.com for tickets.
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together here because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
Nope, just me.
I got to agree. I got to agree with that guy.
I have to agree as well. That guy's smart.
I was trying to get the info out. It was coming from a good place. I'm just an idiot.
I understand that.
Okay.
But the first time, you're like, oh, that was massively wrong. Let me make sure I really proofread this second tweet before I send it out.
Dave says
let
it here.
See.
It's not Smart Run.
Yeah.
I want to change that.
And it's not Spart Run either, by the way.
That was take
that's the
two.
One that kills me. And then you go back and say, let me see, Spart Run? Yeah, okay, that's good. That's good to publish. Send.
Let's go back to making fun of Bean.
Hey, in Kevin's defense, though, Ralph, honestly. We had a conversation with Cascade. He's a very nice guy, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin got his name right when we said goodbye at the end of the conversation. And
that's
I think
true.
He deserves some credit for that.
I did call.
I think I Greg did. Is not feeling too good about that later today.
I did call Clark Greg.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in, Greg.
I said that.
You sure did.
But he didn't hang up on him.
I'm not a smart guy.
No, that's for sure. We now know what killed the lead singer of GWAR. Virginia Medical Examiner determined that Dave Brocky, also known as Odorous Urungus, who passed away on March 23rd at the age of 50 in his home, was the victim of an accidental heroin overdose.
Yummy.
So, once again, China White takes another one. Don't chase the dragon, kids. Be the 1%, not the 99 or whatever.
Hey, if you're going to ride, man, don't ride the white pony, right?
That's right, man. Jonah Hill's in trouble. He was being hounded all day by a photographer in Los Angeles who was mocking everything from his family to himself to his clothing. And as Jonah says in the Hollywood Reporter, I played into exactly what he wanted. I lost my cool. In that moment, I said a disgusting word that does not at all reflect on how I feel about any group of people. That word was the derogatory F word for gay people. The phrase he used was, suck my D, you F word. He said it to a photographer, and of course TMZ was there with a video camera, and now it's a thing. And I feel bad for Jonah Hill. It was reprehensible what he said, but I understand the frustration and anger that took him over and forced him to respond. The choice of words, obviously, was wrong-headed, but he's a real good guy, and now I think he's genuinely mortified, and he's been very apologetic publicly and privately, and it's sad. It's sad that he's got to deal with that. And also he's trying to do publicity for his movie 22 Jump Street, and now that becomes the topic of conversation. So,
and by the way, least homophobic guy in Hollywood, too. Yeah. Raised lots of money, done a lot of charity events for the gay community, gay family members, friends. I think he's in a gay wedding this weekend, for instance. So, it's just an unfortunate choice of words.
Yeah, but you can't say those things. I think he's learned that the hard way.
It is weird, though, Ralph, that there's such a small number of words that are these flashpoints that you just can't say. Yet somehow people still keep saying them.
It's true. I think when you get really angry, that's the small list you choose from.
There are millions of words that you could use. There's like three you can't.
Maybe that's a testament to how much power they have. Is you go to those when you're really, really angry and you're trying to find the most pain-inflicting words you can think of.
I guess.
And you go to the horrible ones. It's weird how the human brain works. And it's weird how the human vagina works, I think.
It's a miracle.
Connected to Shailene Woodley. She's in the news again.
Yes.
She, of course, famously talked about how ladies, you need to go out there and get a couple hours of sun on your hoo-ha mm-hmm. every day to give you energy, to vitalize you.
Sunshine on my
vagina
makes me happy.
That's a thing.
When they do the CNN special on the serial killer that Bean is and or will be, that will be played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll all say, we absolutely saw it coming.
I know. We'll be to blame. We'll be the ones. Shailene Woodley was filming a movie, White Bird in the Blizzard is the name of the film. She's got a sex scene in that film. And apparently she's not just about the sunshine. I think artificial light in that area also is very beneficial because she showed up on the set completely nude. While they're getting ready to shoot the sex scene. A lot of actresses will show up, with clothes or a robe or some sort of modesty, but she doesn't seem to be affected at all by her own nudity, and she seemed to be very comfortable on the set. She said she was nude for a very simple reason. She gets naked before having sex in real life, so why not behave that way on the set as well?
Naked!
This, my friends, is why it's good to be a Teamster.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Good bennies, and once in a while you get to see Shailene Woodley walking around naked.
Naked?
Naked, yes. That's what I said. Before I get into the celebrity birthdays, I would like to give away a very special VIP package for an event that is happening this Saturday.
Is it the Spart Run?
It's not the Spart Run. It's not my comic book signing at Golden Apple. No, it is the Microbrew at Santa Anita. Yeah! Our K-Rock Microbrew Belmont Steaks Party is happening at Santa Anita Park in beautiful Arcadia, California. This Saturday, June the 7th, is going to be a good day for the races. And, of course, the Belmont Steaks also going off. You can cheer on California's own California Chrome. The VIP package I'm giving away is a VIP admission for four people, so you and three friends will also have backstage access. Newfound Glory is going to be playing at the event. Four drink tickets, $106 in a voucher that you can use at the windows to bet on the ponies. This is a great deal. Event kicks off at 10 a.m. You can check it out then. I think it's just $10 to get in, but you won't have to worry about that if you win this VIP package. Got to be 21 years or older, of course, because there is booze and gambling going on. Stryker's going to be there. Omar's going to be there. Dave, the King of Mexico, is going to be there. Beer Monk has promised he will not be there, so this is...
Another positive.
This is the time to go.
This is the event. If you're going to go to one of these, this is the one to go to. Call me now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 7, since it's happening this Saturday, June the 7th, Caller number 7 will win this VIP package.
Oh, horse manure.
And Doc may come out, too, and follow you around and talk about horse manure all day, which would be a good time. Today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of Stryker, who will be at the event, it's his birthday today. Happy birthday to DJ Ted Stryker.
Stryker has a tail!
Saw Ted at the Weenie Roast. You guys probably did as well. Is there a guy who genuinely seems like a nicer guy than Ted Stryker?
Really, he's the best. Is.
Greg? He's just, I think Greg.
Yeah, Greg.
Greg Clark.
Maybe Greg,
Greg,
yeah.
Clark does.
But
Greg.
He just always seems to be so pleasant and so happy. And
he's
just
that guy.
Always has a kind word to say about our show, too. Always says, listen to you guys, and you guys sound great, and you did this the other day, and it was so funny and stuff. He's a very sweet,
just
sweet
the nicest guy in the world, and a terrific broadcaster as well.
Yeah. Model Bar Raffaelli's 29 years old today.
All right.
Actor Russell Brand turns 39. Actress Angelina Jolie is 39 years old as well. Noah Wiley's 43. Rob Hubel's 45. Horatio Sands, the comedian and actor, is 45. Scott Wolf is 46 years old today. Actor Bruce Dern, whose career I've been following for a long, long time. He got a lot of attention most recently with his work in Nebraska. Great film, great performance. He's 78 years old. But the reason we've been celebrating all day long, we've just been so happy to talk about singer Elle DeBarge today, who's 53. Elle DeBarge. I don't think that's a... This is
a big hit.
No, this is a song called Pac-Man Fever.
By the DeBarges.
I got a pocket full of quarters and I'm headed to the arcade. That's not DeBarge at all. This was not done by DeBarge. But I'm bringing everything I made. This was Peaches and Herb or something like that. I got a callus on my finger
and my shoulder's hurting. No. This is Bill DeBarge, the lesser known.
None of the DeBarge family involved in this whatsoever.
Not any of them?
No?
I think so.
This was Barnes and Barnes or something like that.
Do I have to get out of playing DeBarge that way? I'll play it all day.
I apologize, Elle. But it's Kevin. Called Clark Gregg today. He's going on a Spartan run. So what can you expect? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk a showbiz beat.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Beat Show. We have Sally Ann Salsano in the studio. She's responsible for most of the reality TV that you hate. I would say.
Well, I'm glad she's coming in.
That you love to hate.
We're rewarding her with some time on our air.
Dr. Drew will be on the program tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We have a brand new internet roundup, and we've got your tickets for Breakfast with Jack White tomorrow.